coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who doesn't even get invited to sad birthday parties. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our feedback show, week number two, Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And I'm very excited for our guest today to talk about all of this with you. One half of our weak couple. I am Rob Sister. Here's Akiva Wienicker. Keith, how are you? Wheels.
That's right. Wheels Wienicker, as I'm as more formally known. Thanks for having me on, Rob. I really think, I was thinking about this right before we started, that you call up CBS and you're like, don't give me any spoilers. Just every season, tell me what the worst episode of the season is going to be. And then you email me and say, hey, do you want to come on the voicemails this week?
You were down on this episode. Wheels.
I mean, it wasn't great, right? Are people up on this episode? Like, I mean,
I think it was fine. Again, we've had a slow start to the season in terms of like any big strategic swings. We had pretty much two straightforward votes in Katrina and Simone, but we do have a bit to unpack. And of course, we have advertised that we have a mini hot takeoff coming up in this episode. So we will get to that with the auteur of the internet hot takeoff, Akiva Wienicker. Is that the thing that is your biggest claim to fame, Akiva?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, people have been stealing it. Like the not we're crediting us, not stealing it, but, you know, using the same format. I think the Starters, the NBA TV show, did a hot takeoff. I think there was even talk of Sports Illustrated on their website doing one. I'm not sure if that's happened yet.
In fairness, I do believe that the Starters did give credit. Maybe they gave credit to me or to Rob as a podcast.
Yeah, to you. Yeah. My name is Hart. That's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah,
no, that's fine.
That's enough.
That counts. That counts.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, anyone. It's open for anyone. If you want to do, you know, if you want to do a hot takeoff, you know, on Game of Thrones or The Nanny or any other TV show, like, it's yours. Anyone could use it. I'm just honored that people have. I was thinking this week, should we have gone with Hot Take Battle instead of Hot Take
Hot Take
off?
Battle? Okay, well, maybe we can try that out in the future. And also, let me give a shout out to J.E. Skeets, who is a big Survivor fan from the Starters NBA podcast, who does listen to the show. So shout out to him.
Yeah, very good podcast.
So how would the battle work?
Oh, no. Well, it's sort of like we're just changing the name, kind of. We could make it more of like a tournament style, but I think that gets boring because the take only has oomph if you say it once. I'm just wondering, like, they did the roast battle where you go up against each other. And I just think, like, I'm not sure if everyone knows what we're talking about with hot take off. Versus,
right.
Like, because is it a takeoff? Is it a hot take dash? Well, like, where are you punctuating it even?
So you want some sort of like NCAA bracket. And so the problem here with this is like where, you know, in a show like Last Comic Standing and also, you know, with the passing of the late, great Ralphie May from Last Comic Standing over this weekend, you know, a stand-up comedian.
I had no idea.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I know.
Ralphie May.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, I've been out of the loop for, there's a lot of Jewish holidays. I've been out of the loop for basically 72 hours. So, like, we've been talking beforehand, and it's like you told me all these things, and
yeah, and honestly, I could be telling you other stuff.
You think I'm Nicole? Like, I'm not going to buy all this.
We'll see. At some point in this podcast, I will pass off a piece of information that will not be true, and
that's
then
funny.
We'll see if you can ultimately figure it out after the show. But that being said, so like a stand-up comedian has like 10 minutes of material, and it's like, okay, well, you do 2 minute here, 2 minute here. So, if somebody was in like some sort of like hot take tournament, they might only have one take.
Well, I think I honestly think you have a great idea, which is you're leaning towards a great idea, which is, what if we found like the 16 best hot takers out there?
Yeah,
maybe not just Survivor, and then like we put them in a bracket, and you might go up, you know, it might be like, you know, this super hot taker going up against some other guy, and he crushes him, but as you say, then he's out. And then, like, in the quarterfinals, he gets smoked because he's, you know, he really wasted his golden take.
Yeah.
And then it's like a really 16-man NCAA tournament-style bracket. I love it.
Okay. All right. Well, we will get to our hot takeoff later on in this podcast, and we will talk more about the hot takes that were submitted to us by the listeners. Of course, Akiva is fresh off the high of launching a new podcast with me. We've just finished our official Seinfeld rewatch of 180 Seinfeld episodes, all done on post-show recaps, and then right at the time that we finished that, we got the premiere of season 9 of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which we have dove into headfirst, Akiva.
In theory, we're only, in fairness, we're only 179 180th done with the Seinfeld rewatch. We still have one more episode to go.
Right. We are going to have a live recording of the Frogger coming up in New York on the night before Stephen and I get together for the New York Know-It-Alls on November 8th, coming up this in just about 2 months from now. So if you want ticket information.
Wait,
on
hold
that,
on.
Yes.
Hold on. Was that one your month. Lying fat? Was that your like, you know, incorrect fact? Because I believe it's one month from now.
1 month. I'm sorry. I don't know what time of year it is. You know, I live in Los Angeles. It's the same weather the whole year. I don't know.
Yeah.
I test myself.
You should move back to Wanta. You'd know that it sucks.
I would know. So, yeah. So 1 month from now, and if you want ticket information on that, go to robhasawebsite.com/S35KIA or click on the events button on robhasawebsite.com. So we're very excited about that. And also, if you missed it, speaking of Stephen Fishback, I talked to Stephen Fishback on our recap podcast this week. Had a nice conversation with Stephen after he couldn't do the Know-It-Alls. Cass filled in and the Survivor match game has been posted. So a lot of stuff up on the podcast feed for you guys to check out. So Akiva, I know you haven't listened to any of this stuff because you've been too busy.
Yeah, that's why I haven't listened. No, I'm just busy kidding. That is why I haven't listened. I usually do listen.
Yes. All right. So Akiva, let's just get your take on everything going on with Simone going out of the game. Did you ultimately get convinced that maybe Simone might be safe after we got presented with so much information about how the tribe was getting sick of Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely did a decent job of the with the old misdirect, but I just, you know, I there was just something. My theory is if they show you going to the bathroom, and forgive me if someone else has said this so far in the week of podcasting and doing about Survivor. Well, if they show you like aqua dumping, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel they used to say like the ancient pharaohs would like no one would see them go to the bathroom, right? Yes. They would only go to the bathroom like in the mid, you know, very early in the morning before anybody could see them, because they portrayed themselves as gods. And I feel like Survivor's similar, right? That like they don't show the winners go to the bathroom. They don't show like the person who's getting voted out pooping.
A lot of people have talked about this actually so far. And since you bring it up, let's jump right into a voicemail from Tyler.
Hey, guys. So is the aqua dump like the new kiss of death from an editing standpoint for Darnell, then Simone? It seems like it's safe to say that if we see somebody doing this in the future, they're most certainly going home. Agreed?
You bring up a lot of good points. Is the issue, though, perhaps with the term aqua dump? Does the aqua dump need a rebranding? Now, of course, you and I are the rebranding specialists. We are the people who came up with the rebranding proposal for Bologna to turn it into American Salami.
What a hit that was.
People are talking about American Salami all over the place. A number of other things that escaped me at the time that we have rebranded. Does the aqua dump need a rebranding, Kiev, to bring it back?
Do you have any suggestions for me? It's definitely it's a good idea, but I'm not sure like what we could do with it to make it better. We could possibly make it worse if we mess with it. That's the problem.
So I think that probably the word dump to me is just unpalatable. So
I agree.
I like aqua. I feel like that really classes it up. But then you have dump, which is bad. So
dump is bad.
I don't know. I had been thinking about this earlier today. And so you want to sort of combine the tranquility of the ocean with something that's sort of like a natural part of being a human being. I had been thinking something along the lines of a marine movement.
No, I think movement is still like
movement is bad.
Movement is still like in the dump category, I feel like.
Yeah.
And also, we don't need to lose the aqua. So I do wonder, like, I don't mind the word marine in there. That's actually pretty good. But,
maritime, would that be better?
That's, I mean, like, I don't know. That's, I think you have to be, like, further out at sea for maritime. You can't just play, like, 8 feet off the sand.
Maritime law go into effect? So, I mean, do you feel like that the rebranding is necessary?
I think we could really workshop this and play with it. I'll also say, if I'm Simone and I'm out there and she was there for 6 days, she had to be watching this with friends and family. And I'm sure she was so annoyed / mortified that this, you know, that this is what they're showing, because like you only get, you know, one or two minor storylines in you know, especially if you're the second one out. And like, there's so much bathroom talk, I'm sure, out there that you're just this, or just talk in general, right? That you sort of know. I'm sure you had conversations. You're like, I know this isn't going to get in the show. We're like talking about, like, you know, my neighbor or something, or maybe personal information even. But, you know, it's not interesting enough, right, to get in the show. And I feel like it has to be so, she had to be so annoyed. Like, oh, this is what they're using. Like, everyone's pooping out there. And like this, like, yeah, it's just very annoying.
Yeah. Well, she had actually been talking about this for, you know, I think it came up in the pregame, and then also that she was very concerned about how she was going to be able to do this. So I think for her, she really did come alive once this was a thing that she accomplished. This was in some ways on her bucket list of things to accomplish on Survivor. And she did overcome this fear. Survivor is all about overcoming the fears, Akiva.
Yes. So we, you know, we just did a Curb Your Enthusiasm premiere where, like, a big plot point was, you know, a woman missing work because she was constipated and she, you know, she couldn't go into work.
Yes, it can be unpleasant. And, you know, but like, as they told you on Curb Your Enthusiasm, you sometimes you have to power through. Simone actually even went a step further and was able to overcome her fears. Now, Keeve, in terms of Simone as a character, I've definitely seen people really enjoyed her time on Survivor, and other people have been less charitable about Simone, the Survivor character. But I think that maybe that people are being a little bit unfair, because I think that there are other people that are on television who have a lot of the same issues that Simone might have about not enjoying her time outdoors. And people have a more favorable reaction to these other TV characters.
Yeah, I definitely related to her because I'm an indoorsman, you know. And I'm also from New York, like she is. And I would never even apply to be on the show because I would be miserable and it wouldn't be worth $1 million for me. Like, maybe if they were playing for $100 million, I would consider going out there if last place was like $1 million.
You found Simone to be very relatable.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like a tale as old as time at this point in Survivor. We've definitely seen, you know, starting with Ceree, if not someone before, like, this person kind of shouldn't be out there, and now they're like braving the elements and they're going to survive. Like, spoiler alert, everyone so far has survived. So I don't think it's, you know, it's really like, will, you know, will they last? Or, I mean, in theory, you could quit. But I think Simone is the type of person, maybe if she somehow escapes the first vote, if there's someone on her tribe who's deemed less palatable than her and she escapes and they never go to tribal again, like, if she was a merge boot, you know, we'd say, hey, you know, Simone is an intriguing person. Maybe we didn't, you know, get enough out of her, and like, let's bring her back. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen now that she's a second boot who didn't, you know, have a particularly memorable edit. But I really liked her. She was actually my winner pick before this season.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I've been really on fire. I had Vetus winning.
Yeah,
I had Andrea winning. So, you know, I've been rocking. And also thought, you know, she was at, if I can say this, she was at the Your Big Brother event a month or two ago, depending on if you ask Rob or me. It was a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she just had like a winner. She was like talking to Nicole, and I felt like, oh, she's like carrying herself like she won.
No, she duped you.
Yeah, I believe I was duped.
Yeah. Well, some people have even said that Simone is the closest that we've ever gotten to having Larry David on Survivor. Akiva, are you buying that?
That's not a stretch at all. Not a stretch at all. I'm going to run with it. I'm going to yes and that.
In fact,
definitely a great point.
We can put this to the test. I want you to take a listen to this and let me know if you think the Simone is Larry David theory holds up.
And it feels good to be on Survivor. The challenges are physically exhausting. Living on a beach is not fun. Being outside is not fun. Cleaning a fish is not fun. Swimming is not fun. Okay, swimming's fun. But being sandy is not fun. Sitting around in the shade is not that great. I'm not really having a great time. I'm just trying to stay positive.
Simone, the tribe has spoken.
You see, Keeve?
Yeah, I see it now. What was the audio from? Was that from her, like, day after video?
I'm not exactly sure. That is from the secret scenes, and I have to give credit to Matt Price and Will from America to send that in to us for the voicemail show.
Yeah, good job, guys. Yeah, I hear it. I do think she is like a comic character, but you know, there's only so much of her we got. I would, you know, it would have been fun to have more Simone. I do think, like, the, you know, it is impressive that you could sort of like come in knowing that you're going to hate it so much, but still apply. I do think that's interesting.
Yeah, that she wanted to have this experience. And, you know, I was not too dissimilar in terms of, like, I was not really looking forward to being in the outdoors, but I wanted to be on Survivor. I can relate.
Right. Yeah. If there was Survivor in a house, I would be in. I guess they call that Big Brother. But yeah. No,
well,
cameras.
That's what I ultimately ended up, even though I loved Survivor more than Big Brother, I ultimately ended up applying for Big Brother because I watched Survivor Africa. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. No, thank you.
No, for sure. Yeah.
Check, please.
Yeah. Kudos to her for even trying, because I feel like if you have, well, and you know, and being able to cut up a fish, like actually putting the work beforehand.
Let me ask you one other question, since we're here, about the soon to be renamed Aqua Dumping. Here's a question from Owen from Connecticut.
Hey, Rob, Owen from Connecticut here. So we've now seen two early boots go home after talking about aqua dumps. Should we be worried about seeing more medevacs in the future as superstitious contestants attempt to hold it for 39 days?
Akiva, I know from podcasting with you for quite some time, you are no fan of the public restroom. Do you think that survivors will end up trying to hold it for the entire 39-day adventure? And is this what happened to Joe Del Campo?
Well, I think it might have been what happened to Joe, right? It's not a bad idea. I think if we're really talking practically, like, first of all, I've heard survivors say before, like, they just had a code for saying that they were going to the bathroom. So, you know, in case it got on TV, it wasn't clear, mm-hmm. right, that they were just like, I'm going to, you know, get firewood even, or just anything like generic like that is not, you know, is not going to be like deemed interesting enough to be on mm-hmm. the show.
Sure.
But I think in terms of holding it in, well, that would be like a whole nother, that would be like a fun challenge. Like, who could hold it in for the most days?
Yeah.
That would be like a good reward challenge.
Now, why are they holding it in? Because of like what you said, they feel like that will ruin their edit?
Oh, you mean you don't want to be like, right. Does it work in reverse? Like, if you're shown going to the bathroom, then they're going to sort of like, people are going to work to vote you out. I'm not sure which way it works.
Well, it's really twofold. If you're gone long enough, I guess people will talk about you. But will that be a thing? Is this becoming like a kiss of death? So it's definitely, we're talking about it here on the Survivor voicemail show. I mean, Survivor 36 has already been filmed. But in Survivor 37, if somebody is going to go make a marine movement, Keeve, are people going to say, throw the votes on this person?
It's an interesting idea. I just say, if you're listening and you're thinking about applying or you're going to get cast on 37, just go to, you know, this is what I tell my daughter before we go on a long road trip. Just like go right beforehand and then hopefully you don't have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Should people go in the middle of the night, Keeve?
I think it's not a bad idea. The thing is that it's so cold. I feel like they're all like snuggled up. It's very annoying to get up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever gone camping and then like had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night? You're like, I'll just, you know, I'm not leaving.
I'll just wet the bed. That's fine.
Basic.
Okay. Let me ask you one other question about Simone as she heads to the Ponderosa. This is from our friend Kelly from Australia.
Hi, guys. This is Kelly from Melbourne. So one of the stranger things to come out of the preseason was Simone's completely random but very confident assumption that Katrina was a cancer survivor. So I'd love to know how you guys think that train wreck of a conversation will play out when they actually meet. Personally, I don't think we've ever had a stronger case for pre-jury Ponderosa videos than the opportunity to see these two interact.
Okay. Akiva, did you hear this, that Simone in the preseason was under the impression that Katrina was a cancer survivor?
Yes, it was pretty very specific, pretty wild out there, guys.
She talked about this in First One Out. Corinne mentioned it in the cast assessment. I actually do think I know how that conversation went in terms of when they first got to meet and talk about, then have an introduction. From what I suspect, Katrina and Simone, they meet up. There is a hug. There is some sort of a mutual bonding. And Simone ends up reaching out to Katrina and says, hey, Katrina, don't even worry about any of this Survivor stuff, because you know what? The thing that nobody can take away from you, you may have been the first person out on Survivor, but you beat cancer. Nobody can take that away from you. You have that no matter what. Don't beat yourself up about Survivor. You beat cancer. To which Katrina responded, I didn't have cancer.
you're loving it. Rob is enjoying this music. I feel like we're going to be...
This is probably how it went down, right?
Yeah, can we get a... Yeah, I mean, I have a feeling she probably, like, beat around the bush and that, you know, I don't know. I don't know if she went the full way. That's, I mean, that's not a bad group so far. If you're talking about, like, Ponderosa video group, I feel like Katrina and Simone, I bet they got along great.
Yeah, I'm sure that they did. I'm sure that they did. Because they both seem like easy people to get along with. Simone is back with the indoor plumbing, so all sounds well at Ponderosa.
Three beds.
Three beds.
And Ponderosa, you get three beds.
You get three beds at Ponderosa?
Yeah,
why?
She was like bragging, like, yeah, you go to Ponderosa, you get three beds.
Why? Who said that? Katrina?
Simone, I think in one of her exit interviews, like, it's great. You get three beds.
Because nobody else is there yet?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. Do you share a room once people get there? That would be annoying.
I mean, I think eventually you do have a roommate.
I mean, they're just using, like, random hotel rooms, so who knows what, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I don't think that Ponderosa is a hotel.
What's Ponderosa? I mean, I have no idea. You
never watched the Ponderosa videos?
I watch the Ponderosa videos, but it's a different one every time. I don't know.
No, it's the same. Now they're always
It's not literally a hotel, but like, what do they build it? Is it someone's house? What do you mean it's not a hotel?
I don't know. It's like, it's not a bed and breakfast, I mean, but it's not like a hotel that they're like checking in and out. It's like that they sort of have like this like nice tent city thing.
You think it's just like one person's fancy house with a bunch of bedrooms, maybe?
I don't think it's one person's house. I think it's sort of like a place that, at least where in Panama, where I was on the Ponderosa in the Amazon was like this big houseboat and you had like cabins. And, you know, in Panama, it was like a little bit like you had like separate like cabins. And
you were on a boat or was it docked?
It was so there was like a big like boat. It was a ship that was just like on the
Sounds
shore
terrible,
somewhere.
By the way.
I mean, I was only there for two nights, but
yeah. Oh, I guess it wasn't so bad for you.
It wasn't so bad. Yeah. And I'm not I honestly don't know if the boat could move or not. I really don't remember.
You know, I've watched like a million years of these Ponderosa videos and I never thought like, hey, what is it that they're staying? But I guess it's similar probably to where like where the productions kind of stays, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been there, but I can tell you like what it's like for the cast office. Like they have little cabins and then they have to end up eventually like doubling up. But you have your own cabin when you're one of the first people there, either on the jury or when the game starts.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the good parts about getting voted off first also. Like in the first few votes, like, you know, there's 3 days between votes.
You get to pick your room also.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you would almost want to be the first boot in hindsight. That's a good point.
Yeah, or at least first person on the jury.
Yeah,
that's
it's not bad. You want to be captain of the jury for sure. Yeah, for sure.
All right, Akiva, you ready for the next voicemail?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. This is a question about some of the more interesting swimsuits the men are wearing. Wait, hold on. Were you expecting somebody, Akiva?
I didn't invite anybody.
Let me check the podcast door. Who is it? Liana Boris, what are you doing here?
Hey, you thought you could talk about men's nether regions without me? Come on.
Oh, it must be time for a Survivor hot takeoff.
That's right. Well, you know, JP's hot takeoff in episode one happened, so I feel we should do another hot takeoff now.
Okay, of course. Liana, welcome back to the podcast. You were one third of the triumvirate that made up the original Survivor hot takeoff with Akiva and I this past summer. And so it only felt right to have you back with us to kick off a mini hot takeoff. Of course, Liana is the co-host of the RHAP B&B podcast with Mike Bloom on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed and in our Survivor feed. How is the RHAP B&B?
So far, all the Yelp reviews seem to be okay. You know, you always get those one or two one-star ratings, but I think we're off to a really great start.
Right. Is the RHAP B&B anything like the Ponderosa?
it's much nicer. I will say that. It's much nicer in some of the accommodations, but you have to deal with the annoyance of Mike Bloom and I. So that's, you know, that's always the downside.
Okay. So Akiva, can you tell us a little bit about how this mini hot takeoff will work today?
Yeah, I was still nervous we were going to have to answer that last question. I didn't realize Liana was going to come in the door. I was like, yeah, I didn't have a lot of takes on the Nether Regions question.
Liana, we were working on rebranding the Aqua Dump. Do you have any ideas for us?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, it's really kind of an unpleasant thing to say. I think dump, right? Like that's
what
really...
I said. Yes.
Yeah, that's
okay.
What Rob said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm definitely on board here. I'll have to think of synonyms while we go through this, but hopefully I can come up with something to replace Aqua Dump.
Yeah, just jump in if you could beat dump, because
just say
yeah,
dump
we
in or jump in.
Jumping in with the dumpins. Nope.
Yes. Nope. Nope. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. Akiva, so how is this mini hot takeoff going to work?
All right. So let me set this up. We got some feedback from the last hot takeoff where people said it didn't make sense for me to be grading takes if I was also the one who picked them, which I thought was pretty reasonable feedback. In hindsight, it's true, because I sort of picked my favorite and then I didn't really have – you guys were surprised by the takes. I was not. So here I will be much more surprised by the takes. I have not picked them at all, and I don't really know who sent them in.
Yes.
We had a yeoman's amount of effort. We got a lot of takes for this mini hot takeoff that was just announced a few days ago. And we had a bunch of help. So let me thank up top Kaya Wamenholm, who made a Chester-esque massive Google Doc with every take, and even went to the trouble of hiding the hot taker. So we will not know who sent them in until after the picked hot takes, and then I will reveal who sent them in. And then she graded them, and then Alex Kuntz graded them, and you may know the third person, your co-host Mike Bloom, also graded all the hot takes, Liana. So I did not pick them.
Again.
We went to him. So we have Alex. We have. By the way, Rob, are you watching Survivor Washington?
No, I have not checked it out. It is behind Australian Survivor Season 2 in my queue.
I hear it's better than Australian Survivor.
Impossible.
Liana, you're not up to date on Survivor Washington?
Nope.
No. All right, anyway, Kaya, who really put this whole thing together, is the breakout star of Survivor Washington. She even has an immunity idol.
Washington State or Washington, D.C.?
Washington State. No, Survivor Washington is a wholly different show.
Okay.
Washington, I believe Washington State.
Okay.
Nah. Anyway, the guy who makes that owes me like $122 for that free advertisement right there. PayPal, akiva.wienerker@gmail.com. All right, so here's what we're going to do. They picked out 7 takes. This, again, it's a mini hot takeoff. I think last time we had 20. But we're only 2 episodes into the season. And we don't have time for 20 takes yet.
No.
So seven takes. Don't know who said them. Haven't really seen them before. I'm going to read them. And then we grade each one afterwards, right? Right afterwards, or do we grade them all at the end?
Oh, I think we should do it right after, because who has the memory
right
to remember?
Yeah, that's what we did last time. Okay. It was a long time ago. But that's what we did last time. Let's do that again. And then I will reveal. We will do it blind. And then at the end, I'll say who did it. And what does the winner get, Rob?
The winner is going to get to have a chance at eternal glory of taking a stab at being a winner on the This Week in Survivor History quiz, hosted by Jordan Kalish. So they will get an appearance. Paul Osleson, who won the original hot takeoff, that he will be a voicemail guest later on this season. So we couldn't give that away again. So we have to give away a spot with Jordan Kalish competing against me on the coveted This Week in Survivor History quiz.
People were so mad last time because at the end of the hot takeoff, Liana and I gave our hot takes, and people were like, well, it's not fair because Akiva and Liana, like, they're on the voicemails anyway. Why are they eligible to win?
Yeah.
People were very mad.
Well, life's not fair. So,
yes. Okay. Very unfair. Also, could we try to get some consistency in the scoring? I think like whatever we can decide, because I got that complaint a lot of that.
Yeah.
Liana and I
were
like
graded
completely
differently. But that's like you get the Simon, you get the Paula, you get the Randy. Like, no, the answer is no. We can't have consistency in the score.
Wow. Okay. That's the hottest take of all.
Yeah. No, this is absurd. Okay. Liana, do you have any takes before we start? Anything on your mind?
Apart from all of the hot takeoffs I wish would happen on this season with all the attractive men, no, I think I'm ready to get going.
Oh, okay. Nice. By the way, let me this isn't really my hot take, but I was thinking, this is a relatively hot take. What if I said these 2 episodes were the slowest start to any season ever?
I'd have to think about it.
Yeah,
I
was going
over
this with Mike Bloom and a few other people this week. There may have been a slower two-episode start, but we consider the double unanimous vote. It's tough. Any season somebody
mentioned. One World?
Yeah. Medivac is really not a great way to start the season.
Right.
I think the twist, right, the medivac is a disaster. I think, and then they don't go to tribal after, if I remember
the
correctly.
The One World
right,
so twist going. Is interesting, you're going to say.
The One World twist is interesting. Like, what would you, you could, like, it didn't end up really working, but it's something. You know, it got you through the first episode. Here, there's nothing we haven't seen before.
I feel like that the saving grace here is that the cast is compelling and interesting.
Yeah, and we didn't lose, I mean, I like Simone, but I think they were fine losing Katrina in the first episode. Yeah, I agree. The 16 right. people left, I'm very interested.
So we have some very fun characters here. So I feel like while the action has been slow, it's sort of like, you know, it's the, you know, we're closing in on the end of the first quarter of like a game you're looking forward to, but it's 0-0 and there hasn't been a lot of offense.
Well, but I would say also, even with two unanimous votes, even the editing has been, I think, relatively decent, maybe a little rushed in episode one, but definitely in episode two, it was set up where I thought Patrick might have gone home.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, we agree. I think I like in terms of the editing of Tribal, it was good. I just think like ultimately, 10 years from now, what will we remember about these first two episodes? I think basically nothing.
Right, right. This could be a quick first part of the Evolution of Strategy.
Yeah, it'll be a
35.
Pretty boring one. For
right, because like at least we remember that Courtney Moon got medivac from the first episode, right, of One World.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's fair.
We're all expecting that quick TEOS chapter from you guys in 10 years, right?
Yeah. Oh, wait. Scans. Hold on. What about Drop Anchor?
I like it.
Oh,
but I do
yeah,
think
yeah,
that's
yeah.
just like
that's
a pretty
good.
Basic euphemism, but I think that's
right.
not bad.
But this is really like you are, you really combine the nautical and the bathroom euphemism.
Yeah, that's better than what I came up with. I came up with aquaplop.
That's even grosser, Liana. That's not the hashtag. Reminder, that's not the hashtag for this episode, aquaplop. I'm not even, Rob, we did 180 episodes of a podcast. We're really not bathroom humor guys. I feel like this whole thing is
off brand. Yeah.
It's very off
sorry.
Brand.
Sorry.
Sorry. You're making Akiva uncomfortable, Liana.
No,
Save this for the RHAP B&B.
Right. Yes. That's where, potty humor and fellatio jokes abound.
Full bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to listen. I'm subscribing. All right. Hot take, mini hot take number one. You ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
Patrick has absolutely no idea that he met Allie in college.
Mm.
See, I got to rethink about my criteria, right? Because it still has to be plausible, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a joke. Like, it's. I think it's actually funny, but it's not like the hottest take I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I
believe this to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting better as I think about it.
He's right, never mentioned it. She's the one yeah. that's like, this is so weird. There's this guy. And Patrick has been shown to be sort of this kooky character who may not remember that this is somebody like it wasn't like, oh, we were part of the same group of friends. Allie is like, yeah, I know that guy. He went to my college. He helped me move in a couch into, you know, and again, now they're talking mm-hmm. about it. You would think that she would say to him on the one-on-one, like, they go to Auburn? Weren't we at the same school? Do you remember you mm-hmm. put that couch in? But, I mean, he seems to have given, like, no recognition about it. So I don't think that this is impossible.
I mean, Patrick is a man who seemingly can't remember his own fear of crabs. Like, in one instance, he's yelling at crabs and he's afraid of them. In the other, he's putting them in his pocket. So I would also believe that he actually doesn't remember ever meeting or interacting with Allie.
It's realistic. I went to college. I was talking to one of my college friends. We were at a casino together a few years ago. And a third guy came over. And I'm like, I know that guy. And he's like, oh, he went to college with us. I'm like, no, he definitely didn't. We know him from somewhere else. And I literally bet him $10 in chips. And then we asked him and he went to college with us. So I didn't remember some random guy who went to college with us. So I think it's realistic.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how are we grading this, Liana?
Well, I was going to give it a 7.
On which grounds?
Wow.
I think it's believable.
Is it
too believable to not be a hot take? Right. Yeah, exactly. So, I think that's, yeah, maybe a 6 or a 7. I think I'll stick with the 7, but I think it's within the realm of possibility. But it's just hilarious if it's true.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, and again, just to reset my definition of a hot take, that I believe a hot take is something that goes against conventional wisdom and is also potentially true. Like, there are facts to back this up. So while I think it would be shocking, I don't think that there's a ton of information that would back this up. So I'll say it's a 3.
Hmm. Rob, by the way, Rob is always the Simon, Liana. He's always going the hardest.
That's right.
I had a 5. And by the way, for Liana will go first, but for you and I think it's only intellectually fair for us to have our grades locked in before Liana gives her a grade. So my grade's a 5, which gives the person a 15 total. And I just think it's really like it's made me think and I really like it. But is this a hot take? I don't think this really qualifies as a super hot take, but I think it's really funny. And drumroll, please. This came from Caitlin Ash.
Caitlin,
so you were in the lead, Caitlin Ash, with 15 points
in the clubhouse. Okay,
in the clubhouse with the lead.
I also have some voicemail hot takes that have been sent to us, which have been screened by an anonymous source, and then I have a list.
Is
of
it you?
No. Okay. Akiva, do you want to go back and forth? Do you want some of these voicemail hot takes?
Absolutely. Let's do it. I didn't even realize. You said I have voicemail hot takes before, and I'm dumb, and I'm a little tired. I thought you meant, like, you have hot takes about the voicemailers. Like, you're like, our voicemailers are the best.
Yeah.
I literally have no idea what you're talking right. about. So you meant you had hot takes
yes.
via voicemail. I'm stupid. Okay.
Yes. Go. So we have hot takes that were sent into us on the voicemail line. Okay. I have not listened to these or picked them out. These were already anonymously screened. Let's go to, I'm supposed to play 4256.
Hey, Rob, Akiva, Liana. Austin Trupp here from Maryland with the hottest of hot takes. And I leave this one with a tinge of sadness, but it just has to be said. Jeff Probst, I love the guy. We all love him. We don't want to say it. But contrary to popular belief, he has aged in 17 years. And to be honest, it's really starting to show. I just got to say it. Don't believe me? Google a Borneo pick and then a Game Changers pick and compare them. And people, it's real. It's happening. We can't deny this. All right. Thanks, guys.
Austin Trupp is going to be so mad that we plugged Survivor Washington, but not Survivor Maryland. Just saying that.
He's aged because of that. Oh, this is a terrible take.
That's me. Yeah,
this is shots terrible fired at take. A surgeon at Probst
terrible
plastic
take.
Surgeon for sure.
Terrible take by Austin.
I mean, yeah, he's aged. I know we joke about it, but it's really clear. Not only in his, I mean, he does the Botox, but he's got this, you know, he is aged not only in his looks, but in his fashion as well. So it's believable. And I really don't think it's a hot take, though.
Akiva.
Yeah, to me, this is a 2. I think it's funny, but it's not a hot take, really. And yeah, it's in 17 years, like, you should age a little bit. I'm not, you know, it doesn't really do anything for me, even though it's kind of funny.
Right. I don't think that people feel like that there is, like, some sort of, like, sci-fi element at play here where the guy has not aged in 17 years. I think that that's more of an expression of, oh, you haven't aged. But compared to, I mean, Jeff Probst is in his mid-50s, looks great for somebody in their 50s. This is a cold take by Austin.
Sorry, Austin. Yeah, I had a 3, so.
When my friends get drunk, the one thing that they say, you know, everyone has, like, one thing that when your friends get drunk, they, like, tell you the truth. So everyone says, like, you look much older than you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, to me, it's like, I'm not going to rag on Probst at all.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I'm not ragging on Probst.
You balance it out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a picture of Dorian Gray type situation.
Yeah.
Like, you're taking on the aging for him.
Okay.
We're both going to pretend to know what Liana just said.
Oh, man. All right, literary references.
I would go with Richard Alpert. We'll go with that. Okay.
Fair.
All right, Akiva, what else is on the hot takeoff?
Okay, take number, I mean, does that count now? Are we up to take number 2? That's like take number 3. I don't even know what we're up to.
Who cares?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, all right. But that, all right, do we even grade that one? That one's, all right. Caitlin, you're still the leader in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Next take. Here we go. First one out. Eclipse Survivor in quality and attention to detail, and it has made the last 2 episodes of Survivor not fun to watch. Josh Wigler, and I'll add, and Taryn Armstrong, did such a good job reporting and giving fans what they've been looking for years. Character moments, jokes, unfiltered thoughts. Rob's questions also gave us so much better insight to the contestants than the show ever would.
Agree with that
However,
part, yeah.
because the answer, she actually, the person here says, even Rob's question.
Oh,
so they're
even,
actually surprised.
Even.
I was nice. Even Rob's questions gave us so much better insight. However, because he answered so many questions before the show even started, he's rendered much of the actual early show production useless. We're having an easier time filling gaps, like Patrick and Allie's previously mentioned relationship, that would have given us much more to talk about post-episode. We would be enjoying Survivor much more if Josh did a worse job preview. So F you, Josh.
Okay. Interesting.
And this person adds, stop complaining about Simone Singh like in her exit interview.
But that hasn't come up on the podcast. Okay. So Josh did such a good job that he has made a lot of the character development moot in terms of how the game is starting. But I don't know. Are we seeing that much like character development going on the show that it's like, oh, we know this already. We know this already. Is that a thing? Is that happening?
No. I mean, I think that. I disagree, right? This doesn't impact the score, right? In fact, this maybe actually would help the score of this hot take. But I think that we're seeing the characters interact with one another. We're not necessarily getting individual character development. I mean, there's a little bit of that. And I think that Josh doing such a good job especially helped the first episode for sure, you know, and even Rob's questions helped to sort of piece everything together. Sorry, I know I'm a guest. I should be polite. You can have my one bottle of wine I bought for the hurricane. I don't think it made it worse. I think it's making it better. In fact, it's helping me understand the first episode.
I really thought that I came into this season really knowing who the characters are. And maybe, if anything, that we're doing less of trying to figure out who they are and we're like ready for more. So we know these people at like almost a merge level and we're ready to, you know, do like a deeper dive into it. So, I mean, I could see it a little bit, but I feel like that in terms of the relationships that they've gone on to form in the game, I feel like that that's sort of been interesting in terms of their character development. So I don't really agree strongly with the theory.
I also think like people who didn't listen the first one out, which unfortunately I'm sure is many of the people, you know, of the 10 million people watch this show. I still think they have a similar opinion to us of like, yeah, it's not like they're like, hey, the show's great. And we're like, no, trust us. You should listen to this podcast. It really sucks. You know, nobody's saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right. So I think if the take is, which I think ultimately the take is like, first one out was great and the first two episodes weren't great. So like the first, you know, it makes first one out all the better. That I buy.
Yeah, well, I think it's that first one out made the first two episodes worse.
Right. But I don't think that the person who did not listen to First One Out is like, oh my God, this is the greatest Survivor season ever. I've learned so much about these characters in these last 2 hours of TV.
Right.
And if I would have listened to a podcast that told me a lot of this stuff up front, I don't think I would have enjoyed this TV show like this.
Right.
So I think this is cold.
Let's get Liana's grade.
Well, I don't know. See, because I, you know, as an avid Big Brother watcher, sometimes I just get from watching live feeds, I get so frustrated watching the edited show because I know all the stuff that went on behind the scenes. So, for example, with Allie and Patrick's relationship, I can get frustrated at the show for not explaining all of that. So if I hadn't listened to First One Out, I wouldn't have been so mad or upset that they're not revealing that relationship. So I think that there's validity to this. I think as far as the hot take, I think I'm going to give it a 6.
Simone did talk about that in her exit interview. I feel like that would probably be like the top story this week of, wait, what? Patrick and Allie went to college together? This is something that we didn't know. And I think
Ross played it as like breaking news after she mentioned it in her exit interview.
Right. But it was something that had already been in First One Out. And we talked about it in the podcast. So I feel like that this is a 1 for me. I'm sorry.
What?
I think that this is true. I reject the statement that
The premise.
I reject the premise. It's unconventional thinking, but I don't agree with the thought.
So, Liana, when Rob said that the two of us should be more consistent with our grading, he meant we should also just give zeros and ones.
Yes, yes. You guys should get on the same page as me.
That's the winner should get like a 7 out of 30, Liana, just remember.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll be sure to forget any numbers above 5. So, so for the Simone thing, though, does she know that Patrick and Allie knew each other because of all the stuff in First One Out, or did she learn it later at Ponderosa? Because from what I understood, it was figured it out at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, you really didn't ask the hard-hitting question of like the eighth degree of like when did you learn they were actually.
Go post it in the comments, Akiva.
Oh, that is me.
Yeah.
All right. I give it a 6. I think, Liana, you were a 6 also. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And add in Rob's 1. That's 13. That's not enough for a win.
But is your 6 on the strength of that you agree with the thought or that it's unconventional thinking?
I think if it was phrased a little differently, it would be a really good take. I think it's like first one. I the premise of First One Out is great and Survivor so far, not great. So I think it's just, you know, all the more like in comparison, like we were able to get so much out of them in the preseason. How come?
But
we
is that
been able
causational
to...
that you feel like I'm that? Not,
well, listen, I give it a 6. I didn't give it a 10, Rob.
Yeah, but do you feel like it's Survivor has been diminished in some way because of First One Out?
No, of course not. Of course
okay,
not.
Well, that's what the take is saying.
Well, I'm sort of warping the take into what I wanted to say.
Well, I'm literally sticking to what was said.
Well, then Liana and I are wrong with our 6s. You're obviously right with your 1. This is a 13. Does not take over the lead. And I'm very sorry, Taylor Cotter.
Oh, man.
And also, let's add a point for the Simone take. So it's a 14. Still not, okay. Still not in the lead.
It's a charity point.
All right. You had a video or are we doing another a written take?
All right. Let me give you one more from the voicemail that was handed to me. And this is, I'm told to play 4318.
Survivor hot take. This is the hottest cast ever.
Hottest cast ever.
I'm just going to say, like a 5-word take, to me, I love it already. Like the people who write the entire, like a whole Megilla of like, I can't read, you know, like your 31-page thesis on, even if it's like incredibly well-researched. So I love that it's short. What do you guys think?
I have to go back and take a look at all of the casts. How about this as like a sub-hot take? Are the casts getting hotter? Are we casting more and more better looking? Because, I mean, in fairness, like... Season 1 of Survivor, maybe the ugliest cast of all time, least hot cast of all time, yeah. Borneo. That's my hot take. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I definitely think the casts are getting hotter. I mean, they're getting younger. They're getting hotter.
Younger, hotter.
Why is younger hotter? I'd see. I let Liana walk right into that trap. I wasn't going to say it.
not that younger people are inherently hotter, but it both younger and hotter.
Yes, but I do think it speaks to that Survivor in its infancy was designed to be, these are 16 normal, everyday Americans. Whereas now, I do think that Survivor, while you do have a little bit of the every person, I do think that the idea of exceptionalism has worked its way into Survivor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where Survivor is no longer looking for too many of this is the everyday, you know, there'll be like 2 or 3 people. But for the most part, I think that they're looking for this is a person who is really off the charts, has a superpower in this one specific area. And even baked into the theme of the heroes, healers and hustlers, you know, that this is, you know, each person's special attribute that we don't necessarily have somebody in this season. In that their claim to fame is, you know, I'm the stay-at-home mom or somebody who is, you know, I'm a, you know, third grade teacher. You know, they all seem to have sort of like these extraordinary credentials.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I mean, even with brains, brawn, beauty, too, right? It's like one characteristic that these people are really exceptional at, you know? Oh, man. Yeah. Normal people are boring, so I guess I get it.
Right. But in the beginning, the idea was these are 16 normal people that we found. And yes, there were some really extraordinary people in that group. But for the most part, the idea was to capture the ordinary Americans. And, you know, the beginning of Big Brother starts the same way as well.
Yeah, well, broadcast television is dying, Rob, so they have to do what they can do.
Okay, that's
another
fine.
Another point in your favor, Rob, also is like if you think about the first, let's say, half a Survivor almost, which is, you know, through fans' first favorites one, I think we had one like real professional athlete, right? Mm-hmm. We just have Gary mm-hmm. Hogeboom. Now it's like weird if we have like a season without like a baseball player, without an NBA player like this season. So, you know, I agree that they're going for more extremes, both in accomplishments and perhaps in looks. I do think that I don't even want to say specific names. I'm just going to walk on a tightrope here. But like, I do think that they have had a push for, if I was, you know, I think with like the Cochrane winning, I think with the more, and not that they're not beautiful, they are, but like with the more sort of like intellectual Aubrey Hanna, you know, stereotype, if I was like, you know, I'm way too ugly to be on the show, but if I was like a normal average looking person, I would be more confident about getting cast now than I probably was a few years ago. So I sort of disagree with what you said, not with the take necessarily.
Yes. About the actual cat, like the hot take itself, like thinking about the cast, Cole yes. did say about Jessica, she's super cute. And Joe said about Mike that he's one ugly dude. So I don't really know where to go on this.
I think Jessica is super cute.
I feel like he said that really weird also, Liana.
Yeah, he did. Super cute.
Super cute. Okay, so is this the super cutest cast that we've ever had?
I think really it has to do with the briefs that they're having them wear. Yeah, we talked about this a little bit on the B&B, but we talked about the underwear for the men this season and how we could do, you know, a spot the bulge type segment or butts per hour. So as far as that goes, maybe like overly sexualized cast.
Boy, what's going on the RHAP?
Yeah,
B&B?
I don't know. I
told you.
I, on the other hand, was a man whore.
Yeah. Board of Health is going to come in and shut that B&B down. Okay. You know what? I will say that I'm on board with this. I'll say that I like it. I think that we're tapped into something. I'll give it a 7.
I think that it's true, but I don't necessarily think that it's that hot, in my opinion. So I'm going to give it a 4.
Yeah, I think people, you know, as like this cast, as the cast in general get younger, and as, you know, I feel like this has sort of been trodden territory. Like people have been talking about it. It's one of the only things you sort of can talk about in the preseason, right? Before you really know much about them, before the pregame interviews start coming out. This is a 3. I think it's interesting. Like we had a long discussion about it. It's an interesting take, but I don't think it's an especially hot or correct take. So I would say it's a 3.
Why? Who is the hottest season in your opinion, Akiva?
I almost like want to pause and get back to you here, but that's a really good question. Maybe that'll be our March Sunday Berquist Madness thing this year. The hottest season. We're definitely not doing that. Just FYI.
Rank, you know, rank the hottest
seasons.
Off
the absolute top of my head, I think Token Jeans is a very good looking season. I think almost everyone on that cast is a good looking dude or lady. That Token, Liana, do you have one off the top of your head? Like what's like a hot season?
I'm trying to think.
I think that the metric on this is just like go down the list of people, and instead of like factoring in like the people like, well, like he's sort of, it's just like, is this person, could they be a professional model? Yes or no? And then just count up the total number of yeses. And I do
you
feel like
hand models or no?
Yeah. Dr. Mike is a hand model in his spare time. Could this person be a professional model? I feel like that you have in this season at least 3 or 4 yeses in each tribe.
In each tribe?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, I guess if that's your metric versus, you know, rank every single person on a scale of 1 to 10 and take the average, right?
Because yeah, that's what Liana and I are math nerds. That's where we're going.
Yeah, I'm much more of a binary person.
Tavion literally has a tribe called Beauty. you know, right, I think like you have Kageyan is pretty high up there also. Like I'm just scrolling through all the casts now. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sure somebody, maybe Sean Falconer, can really get into the weeds on this one.
Yeah, he's gonna have to quantify beauty first, but he'll do it.
Yes, he can do it. If anybody could, he can. Okay. All right, Keeve, what else you got?
Yeah, and what was the score for that one? Liana, what score did you give that?
I don't remember. I think
okay,
a 4.
So it's not the
4.
Win.
4.
Okay, so it didn't win.
I gave it a 7, and you gave it a 3. I think it actually is. Yeah.
No, that's 14, Rob. That's what. Leave the math to Leon.
That's right. That's right. I'm more of a yes or no binary guy, remember.
Yes. Yeah,
sure. Okay.
Okay, you ready for the next take?
Yes.
The confessional after the immunity challenge should be removed because it is purely clickbait nonsense, and we deserve better.
Yeah. Well, I've actually paid close attention to this over the years. Once in a while, it is accurate, so it does throw you off. But personally, as somebody who follows the show and the edit very closely, I wish they would get rid of it where they could have something there. But it's like, boy, somebody's going home tonight. You know, I feel like that we could have something, or
even a Probst voiceover would be better, I think.
Right. Oh, I can't believe we lost the challenge. I'm devastated. Like, I feel like that. They throw a name out there. They want you to come back after the commercial. I get why it's there, but I do wish that I just like would not see that piece of information before we go into the final act.
What if we go to Probst like finale, like every finale, season finale style, like in an empty studio, just like, this has been crazy. You know, the blue team lost the challenge. Like, it's been the wildest episode yet. And like, you were just yelling at nobody in the finale room. And then when we finally get up to the finale and then it's revealed that there's like a whole room. I love it. You know,
we cut
like,
to
okay,
Jeff Probst in his living room. Wow. Did you guys see that? I can't believe it. Hashtag Survivor. Who's going home tonight? Let me know.
As long as he's sitting next to that chest of money from Borneo, which I imagine he has in his home somewhere.
I like this.
In his living room. Oh, no. There's chest of money there for sure.
I'm on board with this.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay. Right.
Going to Samoa.
Yeah, what's your score?
Okay. I feel like that this is a good idea. Again, I feel like that this is more of like a think tank more than a hot take.
Yes.
So I'll give it a 5 just based on the fact
five
that...
5 to it, Rob, by the way, is a 40.
Yeah. I really like it, but it's just not like, there's not anybody that's like, no, I demand that confessional is in there.
Yeah. I had a 3 for that like similar reason. It's just, I mean, yeah, it's true, but I also wouldn't hear anybody really defending that we need that confessional.
Right. I think it's a very accurate take. It's just not the hottest take. I give it a 6, mm-hmm. but still doesn't hit our 15 total. I will say that, you know, like certain shows like Big Brother and like MTV's The Challenge do confessionals during the challenge, which I find way more annoying. Mm-hmm. Right.
Big Brother.
You're sort of like, okay, this challenge is over. You're sort of like checking out their face, especially, you know, Big Brother, you generally know who won the challenge. Right. But on the challenge, MTV's The Challenge, you don't know who won. So you're sort of like, all right, they kind of look mad. And why are they putting that sort of quote in there? But I agree. I would also, we just gave Sean Falconer a job, but I think this would be a really fun job for somebody. And by fun, I mean, internally boring. But it would be interesting for us.
Yes.
Go through all these post-immunity challenge confessionals. And what percentage of the time are they trying to trick us versus are they telling the truth? I think that would actually be really interesting. You seem to think that they're usually trying to trick us, but I'd like some real data on
okay,
this.
How about this? Let's go back to last season. The over-under is 1.5 times the post-challenge confessional indicated the person that was going home.
One and a half times, out of the entire season.
Yeah,
I'd like to gamble at your casino, Rob. Like your, that, I mean, that's. Are you saying they never do it?
It's very rare that the person they say is going to go home goes home. It does happen sometimes. Dope. That's why the over or under is. I'm setting it at 1.5 times. Like,
sometimes it's.
Did it happen twice in Game Changers? Is the question,
Rob? The real boot versus the placebo boot, right? Versus the person they want us to think. Sometimes the post challenge confessional is not even one of those people, right? It's a, you know, we learn, oh, that person's safe because X, and then it ends up being, you know, Y versus Z, right? Is that
what I'm saying? Is that typically it's a person where they cut to me saying, okay, well, we lost the challenge, now I'm gonna get Akiva out of the game. So not that I'm gonna be voted out, the person that is mentioned in that confessional is the person that goes home. I say that happens somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 to 2 times a season.
All right, I'm going over. Liana, you're going over,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 1.5. I'm going under.
If you had said 3.5.
Yeah, like, under.
Oh my gosh, okay. So we've got a bet going. Liana, on the line is the $122 that Hunter Snyder is going to send me for plugging Survivor Washington. So it's a real bet.
Like, it's almost like the person that they say is going home is almost always safe. Just once in a while, they throw you off.
And by the way, who's going to do the math for this? I'd say the person who loses the hot takeoff with the lowest score has to actually, I'm going to email them this job and they have to do it for us. Okay.
Good. All right. What else you got, Keeve?
All right. So that was from Megan Zimianski, not the winner, but you're a winner in our eyes, Megan.
Yes.
All right. Another take. Are you up for one take that's not that's more of a general Survivor take, but not related to this episode?
Of course.
The only one. I think everything else at least is somewhat tied to this episode. Okay. Instead of the final three challenge, we should have the final tribal council with a three-way even vote. The best player can prove it by playing the ultimate social game, somehow convincing one of the other two to keep them in the game. This will give us the best of both worlds. The final two is better TV, and it still gives us the person in the Cesternino Fair Play Fields role a chance to be in the final.
So say this one more time because I'm not following.
Okay, so what I believe this person is asking is no immunity challenge at Final Three.
Okay.
And we basically go to Tribal Council and no one has immunity. And now we sort of have to, two people have to gang up on the third person and vote
them out. The jury is going
to
vote somebody out at Final Three?
No. And by the way, this maybe is a terrible take. It doesn't make sense, but I think it makes sense. As far as I'm reading it, there's three people, but no one has immunity. So let's say it's the three of us, right? Okay. Liana, are you fine voting a Rob out right now?
No, hey, what?
No. Rob, quiet. Liana, are you fine? No.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so now you're out. You understand, Rob? You have a bad social game. You're out. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or you could have a three-way tie, right, where I vote for you, Rob, you vote for Akiva,
no,
Akiva
votes
for me.
You have to stay there forever.
Right.
Like, eventually, someone's going to have to.
But 99
times. Like, I guess
we
all make fire if it's like 5 hours and we literally can't, or draw rocks or something.
But 99 times out of 100, this is going to be super boring. I mean, what's interesting about these scenarios, it's like it's always two people have a deal. And then there's the third person who is usually aware of it and tries to win immunity. Like when Vesepia and Kathy know that they're going to take each other to the end, then Nalia winning the final immunity challenge is the spoiler, which ends up throwing the whole thing off. So I do think, and again, we're not talking about a final two here. So there is drama that's baked into the person who's on the outs winning the final three challenge.
I'm just excited for anything that brings us back to a final two. So if I would take this over a final three, but yeah. I mean, if you think about, when the actual original final two was happening, I agree with you. I think that having that immunity there can create drama, and just having it, be two people gang up on one is really not that exciting.
I liked my idea where the jury votes somebody out at the final three, because that person's going to get zero votes anyway. If enough people on the jury are voting them out at final three, they weren't going to win the game anyway. I mean, I guess you could say that maybe one more immunity win for that person would have given them their chance. But if they get their chance to argue their case in front of the jury at final three and the jury still votes them out, it wasn't like they were going to get to the final two and win.
It's an interesting idea. Let me sort of like knock that idea right now. If they vote and we show the votes, let's say there's 9 jury members at that point or 8 jury members, if we see it's like 6-2 for the other person or 5-3, we're like, oh, everyone is already, focused on person A, right? Everyone's
right.
We sort of know who's going to win. It's almost a little bit of a spoiler for the actual final vote.
Okay.
Right,
well, could it be part of the final tribal council where then we end up with the jury voting somebody out, and then at the final tribal council, like it'd be like two parts where they vote somebody out at final three, and then the jury has like a binary choice A or B in that final vote?
It's a cool idea also if nobody knew was happening, right? If they show up and think that they're like just arguing and they sort of have to cut from 3-2 first, that would be really good TV to do once, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be interesting. I hear what you're saying, Akiva. So if the vote is like if the three of us are in the final three and then it's, 5 votes, Rob, 4 votes, Akiva to get voted out of the final three. The jury is feeling pretty good about Liana that nobody wants to vote her out here going into the final two. Maybe could we just get a vote count with the vote of with 5 votes out of 9? We have Rob as the final member of the jury.
Or just the majority. Don't even say the number, maybe.
You could also have some sort of next level strategy where the jury sort of tries to get together to keep the goat to go against whoever they want to win or something like that. Like they could try to split the votes in some weird way.
Yeah, that's interesting. And again, but that person, they didn't want them to win anyway. So I don't think it really messes with the game too much. I like this. So I give my idea a 10. What was the real idea? Okay, the real idea, the real idea I think is called. I give it a 1.
Oh my God.
I don't even remember the original idea, so I will also give it a 1.
Yeah.
What? You're giving it a 1? I could literally give it a 10 and it wouldn't win. It was the three-way even vote where no one has immunity from the from
basically,
the
basically, yeah. Take away the immunity challenge at the final three.
I get, you know, I'm going to give it a 7, but Nick Dare, I'm very sorry. You have to do the research on Game Changers for us. How many times?
Well, I think I would win Survivor if this actually was a rule in Survivor of the Amazon.
What,
so
do you think
I do
you
like
would have won 6? Because I still think
that's why.
I don't know about that, because I still think if they were, you know, if Jenna is sort of wasn't going to take you anyway.
Right.
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 And like if you and you sort of like have said like you weren't sure about, I don't know. Like,
oh, you said, I still think. I guess I was thinking about who would the jury vote out at that spot.
Oh, your jury thing. Okay, fine. Yeah. No, I think you in the right. Nick Dare situation, you're still out of final three, and I think so is the aforementioned Johnny Fairplay.
The thing,
probably is not out.
Just to revisit my own personal history with it. Sure, I think that Jenna would be saying like, "Hey, Matt, let's vote out Rob." I'd be saying like, "Come on, Matt, so let's stick to the plan." I don't know necessarily if Matthew wanted to look underhanded in front of the jury, so I feel like
that's a lot of strategy, right? You have to, because you might say like you have to sort of make the argument literally in front of the jury, like, "Hey, you're going to win the jury vote," or you know, "I can only beat I can't beat you, but I can beat her." There's a lot.
I do think it would have potentially been interesting in the Amazon, but I feel like that in most seasons, I feel like that it would be pretty straightforward.
All right, so interesting take, but not a super hot take. So 9 for Nick Dare, who unfortunately has a lot of research to do.
Okay.
Is going to be
very sad. Very sad.
All right. Okay. Are you ready for another take?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Patrick Bolton is the best ginger to ever be on Survivor. This includes Shauna from the Amazon, Ralph Kaiser from Redemption Island, Lisi Linares, Zane Knight, and Tyler Fredrickson. He adds...
What about Cochran?
Cochran is not technically a ginger.
Well,
I don't know what that means.
Is Tyler a ginger then?
Yeah.
I'm going to trust that the person wrote this in, because I would never think about this, has to be a ginger, or at least like married or like dating a ginger or something. Because I feel like in order to be like an expert on who's the ginger, you need, you know, we didn't have Liana rank the 10 best Survivor Jews. We had me do it, right? This has got to be a ginger writing this in.
Right, right. Yeah, this is interesting. First, I put Cochran in that box before Shauna from Survivor the Amazon.
I feel like this person did a lot of research, though.
Yeah. Liana, as maybe the most qualified person on this panel to talk about such a thing, I mean, does Auburn qualify? And again, that ironically, the alma mater of Patrick and Allie, does Auburn qualify as red hair?
Well, I think ginger also is unique, right? You know, if a ginger can rank gingers, we are not the right people to be doing this. But I think that also has to do with then skin tone and freckles or something like that, right?
Yes.
So, I think auburn hair color combined with the skin tone and freckles would probably constitute a ginger.
And what's the question? That Patrick is the best player out of all of these people?
He's the best ginger.
Best ginger. Well, what does that mean?
There's like no
best
qualification.
Look, he's the best looking, or is he the best
overall ginger? Like if they have
very small sample size.
You and I love to rank things.
Yeah.
If we did a best ginger rankings, I feel like we need a little bit more of a representative sample. But if we ever did that,
right.
Got to 10 gingers.
Okay.
Patrick Bolton, number one.
All right. So then,
by the way, not such strong competition here.
Okay. Give me the field again.
Shauna from the Amazon. You know her, right?
Yes.
Ralph Kaiser, Lisi Linares, Zane Knight, and Tyler.
Does Lisi Linares even have red hair?
That's.
I don't know.
I feel like she has brown hair.
Maybe this is a joke that he's the only ginger in this list, and that's why he has to be the best ginger.
I guess so. I guess in her Survivor picture, I'm thinking of her more from her tidy whitey days, just darker hair.
Yeah. Maybe you could tell. Yeah, I don't know what color. Like, I don't know if my wife has like brown or black hair. I don't know. Like, I don't know much about hair color, so I don't know. Like, if I'm really to judge, like, if they're trying to trick us and, like, none of these people are even gingers, it's not really my expertise.
Well, I think also we have to think, okay, best ginger. Is that, like, what qualities do gingers hold and that would make them the best ginger, right? Because we're not talking about the best player out of just this field of people.
No.
Yeah.
Correct. Like, who represents the ginger brand best?
Like, exactly. So, like, burning in the sun... Patrick's probably got that.
No
what are other qualities of a ginger?
Well, can I actually take us on a little bit of a diversion? I know this is technically the hot takeoff, but I have a voicemail that's about this subject. Let me bring in Lancelot with a question about this.
Hello, Rob and Akiva. So have you ever heard of redheads not being trustworthy? Listen.
Next time on Survivor, a war erupts.
I've never believed a redhead a day in my life.
Lauren has never believed a redhead a day in her life. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, Akiva, I know that you are very fluent in all of the different stereotypes that are out there, that you keep track of all of them very closely. I mean, is this even a thing that redheads are untrustworthy?
I think so. I do think it's a thing.
What?
You know, the famous South Park episode that gingers have no souls. I feel like everyone knows that. My wife has like a good friend who is like flaming red hair. And then she married a guy I went to school with that has like really red hair. And their kid's hair is so red, like you can't stare at them straight.
Yes.
Like you all, like you almost want to bully them even though they're like two.
Well, Akiva. So wow. I was ready to come on here and say that I think
I was woke to Jin.
Well, I thought you were woke. Yeah, I did. I thought that you were, of all of my friends, I felt, I thought that you were most accepting.
And, no, I am. I'm teasing.
And I have to say that I was going to say that I think that Lauren might be an anti-Gingite, but I'm worried about you now.
A
gingist. I'm not anti-Gingite.
Are you gingist? No, that's bad.
Am I gingist? I'm not gingist. I got no problem with redheads, people of any hair color. I do think I ultimately think, even though this take is trash, like Patrick Bolton is the gingeriest guy to be. Can you say that word? I'm not even sure now.
I don't even know. I'm no anti-gingite.
Well, gingers are kind of the one social group that it's still so that's still acceptable to make fun of.
They get
right?
No protection. Why is that?
I know it's not fair.
Somebody's got to stand up from the redheaded Americans.
I think that's what they prefer to be called.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the politically correct term, is actually redheaded Americans.
We're joking around, but seriously, if this was like, if there was people like talking about like, you can't trust blonde people, people would be up in arms. People would be blondes are dumb. People would be going nuts, but you could say whatever you want.
We're going to let you keep here.
Yeah.
You know anymore?
Yeah.
I agree.
They have more fun.
Like, they need a good, you know what you need? You need like a good advocacy group, right? You need like a guy to be out there on like the talk radio shows on Sunday morning and being like, this is unacceptable the way Patrick Bolton's after like next week's episode. If what we're, you know, what he put. By the way, shout out to Lancelot for like playing a clip in his drop. I like when people like actually like do some work in editing instead of.
He's a hustler.
You know, yeah, that's a real hustling by Lancelot. But I do think if they had like a ginger advocate. An anti-gingite advocate, right? People who should be pro-gingite. Next week on like Meet the Press, saying like we're like the most ostracized group in the country. Everyone's still allowed to hate us. I do think that would go a long way towards.
I don't know if Patrick Bolton is going to be that breaking point. I feel like that somebody that is
What if Andy Dalton won a Super Bowl?
Would that do a lot
what would
for
that
it?
Do? I mean, it's obviously not going to happen now.
Yeah.
But what would that do for the gingers? I feel like if you had a ginger winning Super Bowl quarterback, that would
be
big.
See, the problem is that Andy Dalton is demonstrably terrible. Like Andy Dalton would have to win a Super Bowl.
He was literally going to be the NFL MVP like 2 years ago.
No, he's terrible. But then he would have to win.
Is he your fantasy quarterback? Like
That I got involved with Tyler Eifert and I regret it tremendously. But he would have to win a Super Bowl and then people talk about him. Well, he's just a system quarterback. And then I think that people would then come. No, you are defaming Sir Andy Dalton because of his red hair. You, sir, are anti-gingite.
I think that's good. And I think also then you can talk about ginger representation in film and television, right? Because Patrick is being portrayed as this sort of bumbling, crazy idiot, right?
This.
I think that there's points to be made here.
Yeah, I felt like that Christina Hendricks could have taken this platform at one point, but I kind of feel like that Mad Men's, that really she needed to be at the apex of her career to take on this platform.
You think she's Christina Hendricks?
I think so.
Carrot Top? I feel like he was carrying the torch for the redheads for a really long time.
Yeah, but I think that he was not a good role model for the young redheaded Americans.
Listen, that's what you said. You don't can't blame. I'm going to give you an out there. I think this person is going to be like the new lead of all the gingers if they ever like really band together. I think Florence from Florence and the Machine. She's like, she's going to become the number one ginger.
Oh, sure.
Can you say the gingers?
By the way, Rob doesn't listen to the music. Liana does not know that.
So now you're against people who don't listen to music also, too, Akiva. Boy, is there no limit to your intolerance?
Musicist.
Yeah.
Who's the most famous ginger of all time?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think of.
Not ginger from Gilligan's Island?
Is it Lucy from I Love Lucy? I feel like it is.
See, I think that she's held back by having the height of her powers in a black and white TV era.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad point.
Also, I think, you know, again, I'm not 100% sure on the definition of redhead versus ginger because, you know, like, is Ed Sheeran, is he redhead or is he a ginger? He's pretty pale.
Isn't it the same thing?
Yeah.
I hope we're not actually offending people here. I don't know.
Julianne Moore?
Oh, what about Annie?
What?
Orphan Annie?
Oh, Annie, you know, I mean, Annie's pretty good.
A fictional character is the leader of the movement.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. Well, so,
I mean, people say religions. Okay, let's go.
Uh-oh. Let's
keep really hot takes.
All right, that take was from Matt Stewart. But I mean, that's a zero, right? Matt Stewart. It says here submitted 8 different takes. I actually like the hustle.
Right.
You know, he got it's, on the show. Submit 8 takes.
It's an interesting take, except for the fact that he excluded the person who was far and away the best in that category and then included a bunch of people that are like, what? Really?
Listen, he was busy writing 7 other takes. He couldn't focus on
all.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Ooh, I'm ready for the next one. I think Liana's going to really be happy she's here for this one.
Okay.
Hot take. The Big Brother Twitter community is far superior to the Survivor Twitter. All right, you ready? The downsides of hashtag Survivor, the hashtag, not the show itself. It's only one night a week. If you're pandering for likes and retweets, your time frame is limited to that one night versus BB's 24/7. The Survivor hashtag isn't specific enough. When searching hashtag Survivor, you're inundated with Survivor posts from multiple countries or a lot of personal Survivor stories. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it really does flood the number versus, you know, a BB19, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, there are multiple previous Survivor players who use hashtag Survivor on everything. We get you were on the show 6 years ago, whatever, posting a pic of yourself doing something mundane, like eating a bagel, going to the car wash, buying a sweater, has absolutely nothing to do with the show. Now you're just wasting people's time. Sorry, getting heated over this. Not naming any names. Some of the benefits from being part of the BB Twitter fam, the best gifts, memes, and parodies about the show.
Right.
It might be divided, but hey, that's representation of America itself. Freedom to stan any player you like, -1 for saying the word stan. Andy Heron is the wordsmith of the BB generation. Your tweets can go viral real quick. Just ask at Rob Cesternino.
Maybe Andy Heron could be the leader of the redheaded American movement.
He's furious that we didn't mention him in Famous Gingers. They like to throw parties every so often, and it's like group therapy. You can lean on each other. Once you realize
Wait, Rape Exposed party doesn't count as a party.
No. I had a good time.
Yeah. And even with the BB hashtag, you don't even have to watch the show or live feeds to know what's going on in news, in the news at night with the BB Twitter at your fingertips 24/7.
Yes.
Via BB updates, Joker's Hamster Watch. By the way, if the highlight of your plus point for your show is that you don't have to watch it, maybe your show's not so good. Just FYI, baby.
Okay. All right. So basically the long and short of it is that the Big Brother Twitter community is better than the Survivor Twitter community.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I guess it depends on what you define as better.
So I could just speak to this a little bit because as somebody who, you know, I podcast 2 Survivor seasons out of the year and 1 Big Brother season of the year. And I could tell you that the Big Brother social media world is far more active than the Survivor social media world, including that my stuff that I do Google Hangouts that many of you guys know after episodes of Survivor and episodes of Big Brother, to the point where my numbers on YouTube for a live show are sometimes twice as high for Big Brother as they are for Survivor. Wow. And I think that I'm, you know, far more established as a person who talks about Survivor than I do about Big Brother. So I do think that there are probably a lot more people who are either watching Survivor time shifted, whereas the internet is sort of baked into the Big Brother experience via the live feeds, via sort of like the 24-hour news cycle of Big Brother. whereas Survivor is much more of an episodic television series. And with that, I feel like that the Big Brother community is sort of like red hot and churning and bubbling at all times, whereas Survivor is exciting during the hour or so during the episode. I'd say that the hour that the TV show is on is probably, you know, it's similar, and I might give the slight edge to Survivor during the hour that the episode is on, but the other whatever many hours of the week, I would give it to Big Brother. But I do feel like that there is a good and a bad because of the white hot burning of the Big Brother community over that 3-month marathon. There are this very good things that happen and also very bad things that happen, to the point where I had one of the worst Twitter experiences of my 7+ years on the platform yesterday when I was getting killed by Raven stands because
what? There's no Raven stands.
Yes, there were. There were three of them, and they came for my wig.
Bully you?
They were bullying me that I had to block people. I've blocked five accounts in the history of being on Twitter, maybe 10. And I had mentioned in the Survivor match game, spoiler alert, Nick Majorano said he dated a woman who had her eggs frozen. And I said, was it Raven from Big Brother? And they started trolling me and calling me all these terrible names that you keep.
But she
Queen
literally
Raven's-
had her eggs frozen, right?
Like, she did. She literally, said that to me. And
literally said it was her bucket list.
Yes,
I even
and she
watched
said
that. I didn't really watch it.
They said you keep Queen Raven's name out of your mouth.
It's not even possible that someone thinks there's a Queen Raven.
Go look it up, Keith. Like, I have the receipts.
I believe you.
Can you imagine if you had called her a ginger?
Yeah, please. Please. Well, I'm no anti-ginger.
Say that for the bottom 10 ginger podcasts. Well, listen, that's why I don't podcast about Big Brother. I feel like I do agree. And listen, it scared away some of your podcasters. Like some of the I'm 100% of your fans and 99% of the listeners are totally sane. But some of these people, because they're with them live, watching live feeds every day. And again, this is not a hot take, you know, become way too invested in the players and absolutely lose their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they start trying to get people fired and they threaten their jobs. And I would never go near Big Brother for that reason, because it's not worth it. And it's insane, even though you get some sweet, sweet Twitter followers from covering Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting take. Liana, what's your score here?
Yeah, well, I would definitely say that in terms of activity, Big Brother trumps Survivor in activity. Like, I have way more GIFs and memes because of Big Brother than I do from Survivor. That being said, I also completely agree that the Big Brother fandom is insane. As someone who is part of it, I am also insane, and it's fine. It's a burden that I wear. So now, how does that impact, you know, my hot take, right? How does that, oh my gosh, I gotta think of a score. Sorry, I haven't thought of one yet. I mean, is it better? I really think that because the Big Brother fandom is so negative and intense and insane sometimes, that it just can't be true. But then that also makes it the hot take. So I'm going to go with a 7.
Wow. Okay.
Rob has never even thought of a number that high.
No.
Nope.
I do feel like that it is true that it does burn white hot and has the good and the bad that comes along with that. So I just don't think that it is that hot, because it's something that I've known for a long time. So I guess
better. It's tough because you're sort of like, you should know. If literally any person knows, you should
right.
know. I would say,
okay,
if you're a Big Brother fan and you're listening to this, you're like, yeah, of course. But the Survivor non-BP people, which you right, there's a lot of them, right? The Josh Wigglers of the world would probably be surprised by this, right?
Yes,
they would say, like,
probably,
what? No,
probably. Okay, all right. So you talked, I was going to give it a 3. You talked me up to a 5. And the thing that people may not realize is that there are people like the Big Brother stands that are out there. They have their person. And now it's like they no longer love Big Brother. They love the person. And Survivor doesn't really have that. It's like, okay,
right,
the old season has gone away and there are not people on Twitter of like, yeah, Troyzan, like King Troyzan, King Troyzan, you know,
right.
Yeah, right. They're not like, but there are people on that are with Big Brother that they will then continue to like, they only like can like they bring every single issue issue back to the person that they are obsessed with. Yeah. And that person is
imagine if someone was like still like standing JT from last season right now.
Or right. Other than Stephen Fishback. Same. Yeah. So
yeah, there is one guy who does it. That's
only
true.
One. So like that is weird. And that is like, it seems to be a Big Brother only phenomenon. I mean, and maybe it happens with like the Housewives or like the MTV reality, but I'm just not immersed in those worlds enough to know that that
can I make
on.
A Twitter rule right now that no one's going to follow.
What's that?
You can't, your like entire Twitter persona can't be like another person.
What if it's a politician?
No, like, well, no, but I don't, and I don't mean a parody account. I'm saying like, you can't be like your name and like whatever that other, you know, where you have like the two names on Twitter, like your at name and your like name on top of that can't be like, you know, Queen Christmas 24/7, you know,
right.
Or like, and then your name is like at Christmas is the bomb.
But like, for instance, like if Andrea was a Big Brother contestant, there would be literally like 100 accounts of like
a
Andrea
would be fought in the streets over people criticizing her. She was on Big Brother.
Oh, I don't even know about criticizing her, but there would just be that there would be like like hordes of people, just some version of Andrea Queen, you know, number
slay.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All slaying. That's why there would be wars in the street, all the slaying. Yeah, no, that's a good point. I do think that like right. The only time it happens in Survivor is if someone gets rustled, right? If someone loses and people think they should have won, like the Aubrey version, right?
Okay.
Then there's rustled. Still people, you could still get into a fight on Survivor Twitter about like, you know, Michelle or something. Like
that. And that's why Russell has to go on Twitter and be his own stand. That he has to talk about King Russell. King
right.
Russell.
You literally have to stand yourself. Like if you're a Troyzan or you're a Russell on Survivor, you're a self stand. Whereas in Big Brother, you have many people
that's
standing
why
for
I would have never done this. I'm the best. Me. Right.
Rob has been known to self stand. Okay. All right. So what were your scores again?
I gave it a 5.
Liana?
I gave it a 7.
Liana, do you remember? You a 7? Well, I got some big news. Yeah, this one, I also give it a 7. It's a 17. However, pulling up the name, this person only gave their first name and not their last name.
Oh, no.
I'm emailing this person right now.
This is like her Cinderella of hot takes.
Her name is Allison. It is a Cinderella. If you don't respond with your real name, you're not letting this
now,
isn't the
best. Every Allison
podcast.
Is going to come along and in true Cinderella fashion.
Yes.
She needs to come in and present an equally scorching take. And that's how we'll know that the
that's
glass
exactly
slipper
right.
fits.
Anyway, I just emailed Allison and I said, hey, Allison, if you want to be eligible to win, you need to. Like, give me your real name, because you could be like Allison, but like on Twitter, you're at I'm not even going to say it. I'm going to get in trouble. But you're going to be, you know what I mean? Like this could be some sort of like bot, you know, I don't know. It could be someone not good. We don't want to associate with random people. So I'm sorry, you know, if you're too embarrassed to give your name into a Survivor Hot Takeoff, then, you know, what aren't you too embarrassed?
Well, she
to?
Could
so
be one of the Raven name. Stands.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Please.
So here's the game right now. That's it. We got one more. But right now, Caitlin Ash is the winner of the Survivor Mini Hot Takeoff. Allison, if you email in your last name by the end of Rob and I's recording, then you'll win, unless the person after you knocks you off. You ready, guys? Ready for the final take?
Ready.
Right now?
Ready.
17 for Allison, 15 for Caitlin Ash. Final take. Kat Ederson has never been hotter.
We got to get the mug shots of all the survivors together and compare that cast to the hotness of this cast.
By the way, that seems like a perfect B&B thing, Liana.
Yeah, you guys work on that next week on RBJP B&B. Boy. Is this the person based on what happened or based on the picture?
I think based on the picture and maybe what happened. I mean, listen, I don't know what this person's into. We'll find it.
Yeah. I think it's got to be based on what happened.
Yeah, it's a picture. No, it's a picture, right? It is a mugshot. Maybe he thinks she looks good in her mugshot.
I don't know. This is a
sad story. Commented.
I give it a 0. I give it a 0. This is too sad.
It got such a big laugh out of you, though. It's really funny. It's not a hot take.
It's not. It's funny, but it's also sad, and it's a 0 hot take.
Yeah, I got to go with that, too. Initially funny, but, you know, obviously
too sad
not great.
To be funny.
Too sad.
Exactly.
Yeah, no,
sad birthday party.
But she did say on Twitter, sorry, it's false. She posted a picture of her at TMZ.
Oh,
yeah, so I'm going to agree.
I think that, no, I didn't know this. So what you're saying is that this is
fake news.
Is that right, Keith?
Is it?
I mean, she's saying that, but there's literally a picture of her. But I don't know. Maybe is it not even a real TMZ story?
Okay, well, look, if it's Kat versus TMZ, I am going to side with the person I know, which is Kat.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. And listen, I've been out of the picture for the last 72 hours, so it may be totally fake. I have no idea.
Wait, what if it? Okay, what if hot mugshot guy actually wasn't arrested and just posted a picture that he pretended was his mugshot in order to get modeling gigs?
Hmm. Liana's woke, man. Yeah. This is a good idea. A hot mugshot guy right now is like dating a trillionaire.
Yeah, no, we've talked to all the scenarios of hot mugshot guy through on News AF. AF.
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. Where hot I got mugshot the idea. Guy,
I like that theory, Liana. That's a good take. I give that 0.5.
Okay. All right, Keith, let me also give you one other late entry. This was from Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob and Akiva, this is Jordan Kalish, and this is my hot take. Joe Girardi actually made the right decision by not challenging the hit-by-pitch. Just kidding. I can't say that with a straight face. Hashtag fire Girardi.
Akiva, who had a worse week of mismanaging situations, Joe Girardi or Jordan Kalish on the This Week in Survivor History quiz scoring?
All right, I have no idea what you're talking about, number one. Number two, if Jordan Kalish wins the Survivor Mini Hot Takeoff, he's literally becoming a guest on his own show, which is like a super Inception-y type thing. That's insane. We should almost all give him 10s just for that. I don't know. I didn't see the game. I'm sort of not caught up. And it's, I feel like Jordan Kalish, it seems like I see in my Twitter feed a lot of people mad at Jordan Kalish. So I'm going to say he had the worst week because he doesn't get paid millions of dollars like Girardi to fall back on his sword if he loses this next game.
Whose job is more in danger, Jordan Kalish or Joe Girardi?
I mean, listen, Jordan, you're always on the chopping block, but I feel like Joe G seems like he's in trouble right now.
Jordan Kalish or Joe Girardi? There we go.
I can see Jordan Kalish going up against himself in This Week in Survivor History and then managing to lose.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. With some interesting questions. Okay. All right. So what a mini hot takeoff this was.
Yeah, this was better than the original.
Nothing mini about it.
I thought people would be like, because I think this was like maybe like the sequel was too soon, right? This was more like, we really rushed this out to print. This wasn't like one of these Frozen things where they were hot. And like 8 years later, there's no sequel in sight. This was the regular hot takeoff was in June. We're recording to Rob, we're in September. It's 3 months later.
Right. So Akiva, so will this episode of the podcast, I know you like to be very meta. Will this episode of the podcast be well received because of the mini hot takeoff, or will it be poorly received and really killed in the comments because we haven't answered enough questions about the Survivor episode that just happened?
And the questions we've answered have literally just been about like bathroom stuff.
Right.
And we sort of put the good stuff in the middle. Mm-hmm. I do think people are going to always be mad at the winner, but I thought this was the listeners did a really good job. And this was fun, especially they didn't have a ton to work with. We only have two episodes, even if they were the two greatest episodes ever. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, they haven't been, right? The listeners did a great job, especially Caitlin Ash and maybe Allison. We'll see if she writes back.
Of course, you can hear Liana this weekend on the RHAP B&B with Mike Bloom. Do you have any teasers for this weekend's show?
Let's see. We play a really fun segment talk about confident or crazy, breaking down some of the decisions that were made this week. We update the JP and things like that tally and do a quiz about all of the weird stuff Patrick did in this episode.
Okay, perfect. All right. You could follow Liana on Twitter at Liana Boris, and of course you can listen to the RHAP B&B in our reality TV wrap ups and Survivor podcast feed. Liana, anything else you want to say?
What was your the Aqua Dump? Was it what was the anchor one that you had?
Dropping anchor.
Yeah,
I liked. I also thought about a nautical number two.
Oh, nautical number two.
So what are you solving there? What are you solving there?
No?
I think it's better than dump. Yeah, I was going to go, along the drop the anchor, drop
some
bait.
What was your awful one? Aqua plop, Liana? Which is, again, not the hashtag for this episode.
What about an aqua deuce? Aqua deuce.
Oh, aqua deuce. Because I think aqua is a pure word.
I think you class it up a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, we're very classy. That's all we're really concerned about here, Liana, class.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, yeah, that's all I got. Well, thank you for having me. This is it's always fun to talk hot takes.
And then all of the Big Brother stands, reach out to Liana, hashtag AquaPlop. Okay.
Yeah, that's the hashtag I want associated with my name. Thank you, Rob.
AquaPlop is going to be the sound this podcast makes when it drops in your feed. All right, Liana, thank you so much, okay?
All right, thanks so much. Talk to y'all later.
Bye. All right, Akiva. What a hot take, mini hot take off that was.
Yeah, it wasn't even so mini. I don't even know what time it was.
It was about as long as the real hot take off.
Yeah, but it was better, I think.
Yeah.
That's my hot take.
All right. You liked it the second time around. Keith, so now that Simone is off the board, do you have a new winner pick for Survivor HHH, Triple H for you?
Good question. I mean, first of all, I believe in the greeny one bracket of integrity, not the goal. Like you get to pick like 40 winners.
Yeah.
So you don't really get a new.
First time Mike has been referenced in the history of Rob as a podcast, I believe.
And the last time, because I think it's dead. R.I.P. Mike and Mike. And they hate each other. I'm going to go with Ben. Let me go off the board here. Yeah. I don't like love.
Oh, I don't think that's really off the board.
No, you don't think so?
No, I think that
a lot of like my Twitter feed was a lot of like Allie. A lot, you know, last week there was a lot of Alan, not a lot of this week going on with Alan. People like, you know, I don't know. I mean, Patrick, people like Jessica. Yeah, I'm going with Ben.
Okay.
What about you? You don't have to.
No. Yeah. Ben is a good pick. I like the Ben and Chrissy pairing. I think that they're looking pretty strong. I think it's an interesting
Chrissy
season.
Chrissy was obviously a hot one this week, too.
Right. That the pairs, I think, are going to really carry the season. And I was talking about with Steven about is this a little bit of a paradigm shift where when you come into Survivor, do you just pair up? Is that the way that you people are just going to approach it? And then it's just all about like almost every season is like a blood versus water season. It's like you make a buddy on the first couple days and then you and your buddy are just playing the game the whole way.
I mean, that's the goal, right? You always want to make like a number one, obviously.
Well, Aqua Deuce, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, you mentioned Alan Ball. Let me give you this question. This is from Andrew Kirk, who wants to ask you about NFL players on Survivor.
Hey, Rob and Akiva. This is Andrew Kirk calling from California. My question is, you guys did an off-season podcast a year or two ago about the NFL quarterback. So my question is relating to one retired NFL quarterback. If you can replace Alan Ball with the one and only Tony Romo on the Heroes Tribe, how do you guys think Tony would do? Do you think he'd survive? He would have survived as the first tribal council last week? Love to hear your guys' thoughts on that. Thanks.
All right, Akiva, what do you think about the idea of Tony Romo on Survivor? How do you feel like that would go?
It would be bad. I'll tell you. I don't know if you've heard a lot of Tony Romo announcing so far this season. I've heard a little bit.
I've seen more clips than I've heard him do a game.
I think what would happen is he'd just tell you what was going to happen before it happened. He would be like the ultimate spoiler in the history. Like he would be, you know, it would be crazy. Because if you watch Tony Romo's announcer, he's like a prophet from the future who says what is going to happen in the play. And then it happens. And it's like it's almost getting old already.
Yeah.
He's so good. So if he was on Survivor, you just like show up on screen. He'd be like, all right, Simone's going to get voted out. And he also has like. He's great, by the way. Like I'm teasing, like he's like the best announcer in the last 30 years, but his voice isn't super like powerful. So you almost have to like put your ear to the speaker to hear him. But it's like, all right, like now they're going to go to the right. So like, all right, now we're going to vote out Simone. It's going to be unanimous. I was like, all right, Jim. So, yeah, I do think it would be bad. Right?
Okay.
He's never won. He's not a winner, so he's not going to win. And he's a spoiler.
OK,
so it would be like having
choking a big spot. Name,
the show. Yeah.
Okay, I agree. Tony Romo on Survivor is not going to potentially work. But Tony Romo, of course, now a number one analyst for CBS on football. If Jeff Probst stepped away from Survivor, could Tony Romo, potentially announcer Tony Romo, step in as the new host of Survivor? And what would that sound like in terms of like before the challenge starts? You'd be like, all right, watch this. Hustlers are going to go down into the water. They're going to go down. It's going to be a problem. Simone can't do the puzzle and heroes win immunity. Survivors ready? Go.
I do like the idea. By the way, like Probst, people have said this before, but he doesn't get enough props. Probst is so good at announcing the challenge. Like he's better at that than he even is at like the tribal council stuff that he's obviously also great at. It's like, I mean, when you hear Julie Chen, not to make everything an endless Survivor BB comparison, like Julie Chen is so bad at doing the live challenge. And again, it's live. Jeff Probst, a lot of what you see is not, you don't see his voice, is his mouth moving, right? A lot of it's done in post, but still like she's so bad at it and he's so good at it. You really like appreciate it. And also like, you know, TJ on the challenge was like, oh, you just killed it. Like, and he can't really like give like play by play. So Jeff's amazing at that. So I actually think would be funny to see like a real play-by-play guy do it, because they'd be a billion times worse than Probst.
He doesn't get enough credit for it because he's also the umpire and also the announcer of what's going on.
It's a little tricky.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on. So he's got to like make a call and also, you know, narrate the action. But the Tony Romo hosting at Tribal Council, I think, also might ruin the experience for everybody, where you may get a situation like, all right, it is time to vote. Nobody's going to play an idol. Simone is voted out. And let's have you guys go up and write down your votes.
What if it was wrong once? Like, he's not always wrong. Even if it's not super pro, like the opportune time to play that music, there's really no wrong time to play the current music.
No. Great. All right. Keeve, speaking of the Curb music, I've got a question for you from Craig from Vancouver.
Hey, Robin, Keeve. Craig calling from Vancouver, Canada. Seeing as both of you have started a new podcasting venture in the Curb Your Enthusiasm post-show recap, I wanted to ask you, out of the four main characters of Larry, Jeff, Susie, and Leon, who do you think would be the best Survivor player? I'll close this out by saying, though Chrissy's idol is fake, Joe's idol is real, and it's spectacular.
All right, Keeve, let's not spend too much time on this. Susie, Jeff, Leon, and Larry, who's the best Survivor player of the group?
I mean, I think Larry just like gets into so much trouble day one that it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. Susie is such a Sue Hawk, right? Susie literally is Sue Hawk.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess it's between Jeff and Leon.
Jeff and Leon. I mean, I'm such a Leon guy right now. I'm very high on Leon after the opener. I'm happy that we went further than someone saying, "Hey, Robin Akiva, who so far this season's playing pretty good." I thought there'd be like 10
of those.
We didn't
even get that call.
You probably just didn't play it.
We didn't even get that call. Yeah.
Okay. Past that. Okay.
All right.
So I'm going with Leon.
Okay, I can't disagree. Although Jeff Garland, very charismatic, very easy guy to like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if any of them are like super stars, but yeah, I'm sticking with Leon. Okay. Jeff would be interesting. We don't really have the sort of jolly, like happy-go-lucky fat guy, which I've always been advocating for. We really don't have too many of those on Survivor.
Yeah, we need a Hurley on Survivor.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right. Here's another question.
Hey, Robin Akiva, it's Matt in DC. I've been really enjoying the first episode of the podcast that you did on Curb. And in that spirit, I was wondering, now that Chrissy has an idol that's completely useless to her, but she might try to trick someone into thinking that it has use for them, who should she foist it on? And also, can you think of any great Survivor foist in the history of the show? The main one that comes to mind for me is when Philip was foisted on... was foisted on Franny as an Alliance member. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
You know, the foisting is a great verb for this fake idol that ends up using, because you do foist the fake idol onto somebody, because it's here's something that's useless, but you have to give it off to somebody and sort of like talk it up with the appearance that it is going to be a real thing. And I think a little bit of a spoiler alert on the first episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm this season, in the way that Larry foists his assistant on Susie, I think that that's probably the right approach you need to take with foisting the fake hidden immunity idol.
Yeah, the historic foist question is a good question, but I really, other than the Philip one, I even knew the question was coming and I hadn't thought of a good one. Do you have a good one for that one?
You know, it's a tricky thing, because you don't really give away a person who's like an alliance partner. In terms of the idol, I bet we could come up with different situations of people trying to, you know, every time somebody's been given the fake immunity idol, it's always that somebody is either an attempted foist or a full-on foist. I mean, you had where Dale in Survivor Blood versus Water is like trying to give like a keychain to John Mish and saying like, oh, if you let me stay, I'll, you know, you can have this idol that I have in my pocket. I mean, that's completely foisting. In terms of like with a person, in my own experience, where we were in the Amazon and where Matthew was just sort of like an extra number at one point, and he was really like getting on Alex's nerves, where Alex like did not want him sort of part of the main group anymore. I had sort of foisted Matt onto Butch, or I guess you could say I foisted Butch onto Matt, where I sort of like said, okay, so Butch is working with you. I'll tell you the plans from now on. So you don't talk to Alex anymore. Now you're just working with Butch on this stuff. So I feel like that there was a little bit of some foisting that was going on. I mean, ultimately, it's probably me who got foisted by not going to the final two, but there was it's similar.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, Shambo sort of, like, foisted between alliances, like, nobody wanted her. There's maybe, like, someone sort of, like, hey, I wanted you to go on this rewards because I want a reward challenge because I want to, you know, after we won the reward, I want you to go on the reward because I want sort of stay home and like talk to these people.
Right.
Nothing really.
Right. I guess really there's probably a situation, and maybe the listeners can figure it out, where it's like, all right, you get to send one person to the other camp. And I do think that maybe Shambo might have been foisted onto Russell's tribe back. And like there was like a thing where you got to send one person to go to the other tribe to be the spy. But I feel like that, and maybe I'm misremembering this, was like, okay, well, we don't want her around here, so we'll send her to the other tribe for the day. She'll be there. Problem.
Yeah, no, there probably has been some foisting that we're missing. Send your best voice to to us in the comments.
Okay, all right, let me play you this question about Patrick.
What's up, Rob? So I was just rewatching the episode and I came across a moment that no one's really talked about, and I think it needs to be touched on. The moment in the Hustler's Beach when Patrick is freaking out about the crab, and everyone's like, oh my god, are you okay? Ryan looks at him, looks him straight in the face, and says, do you need a man's touch? And it just goes away, and no one addressed it. And I think it's the funniest thing that's ever happened. I don't know. I guess talk about it.
Okay. Does Ryan say to Patrick, do you need a man's touch after Patrick is scared of the crab? I have this clip for you, Akiva. Let's hear how this went down.
Grab it, dude.
Yep. Now just break it.
Are you hurt?
Has he got you or something?
No! Oh! You need a man's touch?
What is your problem?
No!
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, what does that mean, Keeve?
I don't know. He's just throwing that in there. I didn't even, you know, I actually did catch it, but it's sort of, you know, maybe he's like foisting that on the editors.
Yeah.
They barely throw it in there.
In what way does he need a man's touch with handling the crab, or does he need a man's touch to sort of be consoled after the interaction with the crab?
No, to handle the crab. He's questioning his masculinity. Come on, it's 2017 or maybe 2016 we filmed. I don't remember. Yeah, 2017. You know, we're past those jokes.
Yeah. Okay.
Except the entire episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm last.
Right. You think that Ryan is better than that? He doesn't need to say that to Patrick. All right. Speaking of Patrick, I have one more question for you. This is from Kalen.
Hey, Robin Keeve. It's Kalen from Atlanta. Akiva, since you are the Seinfeld expert, I would love to get your opinion on Patrick this episode. Isn't Patrick the most Kramer-esque contestant ever? Because every time Patrick was on screen or talking or anything about it, I just feel like that was what Kramer would be like if he was on Survivor. Do you agree? And also, can we get your thoughts on the Seinfeld, on the Jerry Seinfeld stand-up special on Netflix? No. Thanks. Love the podcast. Bye.
Keeve, so let's take that in two parts. First,
well, every Survivor fan wants to know my thoughts on the Jerry Seinfeld
stand-up. Did you see Patrick as the Kramer of this tribe?
I mean, if there is a Kramer, there's only six people, fine. But he's saying he's the Krameriest guy in the history of the show.
What do you think of that?
Right. Is he the Krameriest
kooky
guy?
Kooky neighbor. I mean, I guess he was technically Allie's kooky neighbor in college.
Right. Well, he doesn't remember that.
Right. But with Kramer, I mean, that was his signature thing, where he doesn't know anybody's last name. He doesn't remember Susan.
Right. who's the, I guess I'm trying to think, who's the Krameriest guy of all time?
Yeah.
Does Patrick really stand out as super Kramery?
I mean, Dave Ball, I feel like, is a little bit of the Kramer character.
Like, who's always tripping and like pratfalling?
Mm.
How about this? Ben Browning, most Kramery-est guy of all time.
No. That Ben Browning actually was going to change his name to Michael Richards, I had heard.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Let's say,
For $1,001.
1,001. That's a good Easter egg in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's not really. I'm trying to think of like who's always tripping. Who's always just like
Alan Paul?
Alan Paul, he's tripping. I don't know.
This looks like he's tripping, but he's not.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What about the Seinfeld special? We keep saying we're going to talk about it on the Curb podcast.
Yeah, let's talk about the Curb podcast because I have no idea what he's doing here. It wasn't my favorite special of the year, but you know,
you didn't love it.
You know, Jerry needs more money, so keep going, Jerry.
Okay. Now, in terms of, I just want to get out in front of any criticism that we might be facing after this podcast, because I've had a lot of fun so far to this point, Keeve, but I feel like that there's going to be a 400-pound elephant in the room of, hey, where was all the strategy talk, guys? All right, you got in the poop talk, you got in the hot takes, you got in all the Curb Your Enthusiasm jokes. Where was all the strategy? And what I said to open the voicemail show last week, I stand by this. This is the people's podcast, the voicemails. Mm. I set the agenda on the know-it-alls. I talked to a guest on the recap show, which we talked a lot of strategy with Steven, talked strategy with Cass the other night. There were no strategy calls of note, okay? I can give you some of the strategy calls that we didn't get to if you want to answer them. Should they vote out Desi now because she's a pageant girl?
Is that a strategy call?
That's strategy related. At least it's about the vote.
Yeah. No, I don't think we need to hear that one.
Yeah. How would Chester do on Survivor? Is that strategy?
No. Someone wrote in and said that he would be the first person out 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Okay.
He's only seen one season, so he probably is starting off as, on the
right. Right. Is Patrick going to be a meat shield for Ali and Ryan?
All right, we didn't need to hear these. I hear you. So you're throwing the listeners under the bus. I'm saying, if
the complaint is going to be, hey, where was all the strategy questions? What I'm turning around and saying is, did you call up and ask a strategy question? If you would like more strategy questions in this podcast, please pick up the phone, get out your iPhone, and say, hey, Rob, here's my strategy question that I need addressed. OK, so I'm just trying to get out in front of anybody in the comment section.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there's going to be that many like you again. This was a great week. We heard Steven, on the regular show, which, again, I've been complaining about this for 5 years, but doesn't have a name.
Yes. I call it the interview.
Oh, you call it the interview. That's a great, as opposed to the interview you do on Thursday. It's the other interview that you post Thursday or Friday.
So what are you talking about?
I feel like we could workshop that.
I'll refer to that as the recap, but ironically, the podcast I do the least recapping in.
Right. But I think people want to hear strategy talk from Steven, and they want to hear us talk about pooping. I don't know. Yeah. Or they don't want to hear us talk about pooping, but they don't want to hear
the voicemail. It's a party here. Okay.
Yeah. No, we had a party today for sure.
Yes. Sometimes it's a pee party. Sometimes it's a poop party. Sometimes it's a hot take party. But all in all, you're on your way to work. We're trying to have fun. Okay.
I am.
Yes. Not you. The person I'm talking to, the listener. I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Because being on my way to work is me leaving my bed and just walking to the computer, which is like 3 inches away.
Before we get into the social media, Keeve, let me just tell you about a new show on the CW on Mondays that brings you to the front line of drama with the new military series, Valor. Two special ops helicopter pilots are breaking boundaries and defying all expectations. Their bravery in the face of impossible odds earned them the Distinguished Flying Cross for Valor. But together, they're finding that the truth is the first casualty of war. During their last mission, something went wrong, just like with Jordan Kalish on the last episode of This Week in Survivor History. Something that no one is talking about, unlike Jordan Kalish on This Week in Survivor History. And when they went into the combat zone, not everybody came back, and now they have secrets. But they're also patriots, the good kind of patriots, not like those ones in New England, right, Keeve?
No, not those. Those are bad.
They refuse to leave any man behind. What would you do if you had to break the rules to do what was right? Would you stay grounded and step in line, or would you go to any lengths to learn the truth? They'll share secrets, go on clandestine missions, risk life and limb with only each other to depend on. How close would you get to the only person who really knows you? Not very close for you, right?
You know, how close would I get to the person who knows me?
Yeah, the one person that really knows
me best right now. So not so close.
Yes, not very close. It's the explosive new drama that pushes the boundaries between military discipline and human nature. The new series that's right on target, Valor. New episodes Mondays at 9, 8 Central after all new episodes of Supergirl, only on the Charlie Whiskey. That's the CW.
The Charlie Whiskey?
Yeah, CW. That's like walkie-talkie talk.
Is that their line or yours?
That is what they are telling me to tell you. It's a military drama. So it's like, that's a CW. That's a Charlie Whiskey.
Okay. I like it.
That's what
I'm buying the
that's
Charlie
what going
Whiskey.
For. There you Valor. Go. Valor. Akiva's new favorite show. And of course, let's get into Akiva's favorite segment, social media. And let's listen to the sweet sounds of what composer Ryan Elder, who makes all the music for Rick and Morty, has to say about social media survivors.
Tweets, baby, tweets, survivor tweets. They're better than a clue tattooed yes. upon a tree.
Yes. Yeah. Did you like the clue on the tree,
Love
Steve?
It. Love it. I like the fact they went back and scratched it off. I was a big fan, honestly.
Yes.
And I also would have had no clue if that was a raft or like just what was a picture of. Maybe it could have been a little more clear. Maybe like they could have had the best artist on crew do it, but I did like that a lot. I like that little twist.
It was fine. I got a tweet. Steven and I got a tweet from Survivor Cole Metters that we talked about this on the aptly named interview / recap podcast. He replied to us and said, I chopped the idol out of the tree so no one else would see it. If we ever went to a different beach, I'm assuming the clue would be the same. But I feel like that's we said it was a good job. So I don't know if he was like us. Like I wasn't sure. And I didn't want to get into a debate. I didn't know if he was saying that we didn't say that he did that, or I thought we said that he did a good job with that. But I just felt like that. I don't want to get too caught in the weeds.
By the way,
this.
I have an idea that I'm sure 8 people have already said. What about a fake clue on the tree?
No, I think this is new.
That's a good idea, right? I mean, again, you don't have really writing utensils, but you could maybe use like the bark of like a tree that's a little smoother. And
yeah.
you could make a fake, especially now. It wouldn't have worked before because people are like, that kind of looks fake and they've never done that before. Now they've done it before. I think it's open season in the future on fake tree clues.
Fake tree clues. Okay. So yeah, what would you do? Like, did they do it with paint?
I mean, you don't have the paint option, but I do think like you could sort of just write a bunch of words. And really, you're just making them keep busy, right? It's like, what would be funny is if you accidentally, you know, like led them to the idol. If it was like, you know, take 11 steps when you get to the well, then do like 4 jumping jacks, then like go look down and the clue.
Right, 4 jumping jacks.
I don't know. You want to like add a bunch of things. It's a big tree. You got room to write that stuff.
Yeah. I think that's the tip off that you have to do jumping jacks. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Cut the jumping jacks. But in the idea, I think it has some promise.
Let's start with hashtag Figgy, Keeve, who says, one thing I learned, if they aren't looking directly in your eyes when they speak to you, don't trust a hoe.
No.
Who was the hoe?
I'm not sure.
Who was the hoe? Was it Allie that lied to Simone? Was it Lauren?
I mean, Simone like tweeted at Figgy after she got voted out, right? I don't think she's not calling Simone here.
This was before the episode was even over.
This is just a random tweet? Like, if they're not looking you in the eyes in general, I'm not sure what this is.
Well, this was like 48 minutes into the episode. So I think that Simone retweeted Figgy. Like, Figgy is just at the crux of everything, I guess.
Yeah, Figgy is really the center of the universe. I agree.
Don't trust a hoe. Who was the hoe that Figgy trusted? Taylor?
I don't even want to go there. I don't know.
Was Figgy betrayed by a hoe?
Unlikely.
So exactly how that went down. Okay. All right. This is one from Tyler Fredrickson, who said they'll do this challenge in a few seasons and it'll just be Fiji, 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 Fiji.
That's funny. By the way, that's a good tweet. Speaking of, since this is a theme, Figgy. She tweeted, someone said, did you ever aquadump? And she said, I land dumped, not aquadumped. I had stage fright. So first of all, I mean, can anytime someone go to the bathroom, are they just land dumping unless it's on a plane?
Right. Yeah. Is it redundant to call it land dumping?
I don't know if it's redundant. I just think it's like a weird. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's redundant. I don't know. But next time the call says, like, where are you going? Just say I'm land dumping.
Land dumping. Okay. All right. We'll try it. We'll try it. See how that goes.
I really don't even like bathroom humor. I don't know how we fell into this trap. We've really never done it before.
Yeah. You don't like to talk about it. So sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault. You didn't, you know.
I don't really particularly, don't like to get particularly graphic about it. I feel like that's sort of like, you know, from the it's sort of 10,000 foot view, sort of like talking about it, but still dancing around it enough, I feel like.
Yeah, no, we're fine. I don't think we're being too gross here. Listen, the show started it, so it's not our fault.
Yes. Okay. All right. Brian Corridan was outraged. He said, wait. Is Guatemala not even featured in the previous location sides? Come on.
Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy, Brian. Who cares?
He's very upset. Eric Reichenbach said, all the beautiful scenes of the Fijian Islands were ruined, knowing three scenes earlier, Simone proudly aqua dumped there. Did that ruin the location porn of Survivor for you?
I think, like, yeah, what if they, like, yeah, the Survivor's going to get a bill for that, Aqua Dump, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. This is one from T-Bird. It doesn't have to do with Survivor, but she said, hashtag memories. Dear diary, today I ran into my ex-boyfriend completely out of the blue at his house while he was asleep. Hashtag National Boyfriend Day. What? Can you follow this story, Keith?
Her ex-boyfriend at his house while he was asleep.
Hey, what's going on here?
Scott Aukerman on Comedy Bang Bang has a joke where he calls his wife his ex-girlfriend because they're not girlfriend or boyfriend anymore.
Oh.
So is that Figgy, like, just a big Comedy Bang Bang listener?
Well, and,
like,
that was T-Bird, not even Figgy.
Sorry, I said Figgy. We just
never
Figgy
trust a hoe. I'll tell you that right now.
That be the hashtag. Never trust a hoe, but in T-Bird's voice. Yeah, I like, so she ran into her ex-boyfriend in his house while he was asleep. Okay. That's pretty good.
Was she there to murder him?
I mean, we need more of that story. Is there a thread? Is it like, did she point to an arrow and keep going on Twitter?
One of seven.
Yeah.
Now you say that people should get the death penalty who do that, right, Keeve?
Oh, the death penalty?
What have you said?
I said the death penalty for a threaded tweet?
Yes.
You're like, I had
Did
some
I exaggerate
outtake.
That? Yes.
I think you're exaggerating.
Yeah. I don't
I
know.
Think that, I thought the death penalty was...
Somebody
was,
find out what Akiva said.
Word adult.
Yes.
I have said that people should get, like, lashes a bunch of times.
Okay.
Try not to say death penalty.
Okay.
But I have lashes for adulting. I think that was a big one. Using sports as a verb, like sportsing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say the death penalty, but you certainly, like, don't deserve to live anymore if you say that.
Yeah.
But
we'll, you might we'll have said waterboarded.
Waterboarded caning, I think, was the big one. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Keith. And then, of course, the greatest thing about this season so far has been the involvement of one Survivor alumni on the regular in terms of their weekly contributions for Twitter. Are you ready to jump in to some Rupert tweets?
Yeah, let's do it.
Tweets, baby, tweets, Rupert tweets that are better than something that happened on Survivor.
Okay, Rupert is tweeting, tweets. And he may not even be tweeting during the episode, that he may have preloaded all of these because he is back, but he is really phoning it in, and potentially literally and physically, in terms of the tweets that are being sent out there. Very vague, very generic tweets from Rupert.
I mean, he's
season.
Just playing hard to get for this game. Like, he knows the game exists now. It's too meta, right? So he's got to make it harder for us.
Okay, so he's making it harder for us. So I am going to give you three tweets from the real Rupert and then one tweet from Alexis Maxwell.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Who got a big compliment earlier in this episode.
Oh, you said part of the most attractive season of all the Survivor seasons, right?
Got to talk about Alexis there, yeah.
Right, right. I mean, the question is, did the other two tribes bring down the average?
I mean, is that a shot directly at Spencer?
No.
I'm teasing. No, yeah. Jatia's there, Garrett. I mean, David Sampson is a horrible person on the outside and on the inside. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not him.
Right now. So is then.
By the way, amazing of the Marlins to find, like, a worse person to be their owner.
Derek Jeter. Yeah.
I mean, really, he's okay. But
talk about going out of the frying pan and into the fire.
What you said.
Yeah. All right, Keeve. So let's begin. Tweet number one. I'm feeling like this season will be one of those that's stronger post-merge. Hashtag Survivor. Number two. They were all united except the one going home.
Mm-hmm.
Number three. This is a lot of people to keep track of. And number four. Sometimes the game irritates me when they make a choice I know is wrong.
Mm. Rupert doesn't have 280 characters yet.
No. No, I don't think I do.
No, you don't think. Like, you haven't checked eight times today.
I don't that I think I, yeah, I know I don't, because I just tweet out, hey, send us more hot takes. Send us all your strategy
questions.
Like, this questions.
Is how sad I am.
Yes.
I can tell, like, if a tweet's, like, 143 characters. I only have 140. But I'm like, oh, that one looks a little long. And if you, like, yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, that's, like, three over. That's how sad I am.
Wow. That you just have, like, this uncanny ability that you can, like, you know, count characters?
I mean, you know, I feel like Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours. Like, I've been on Twitter for 10,000 hours. So, yeah, I can count characters.
Hmm. Wow. So can we do that test? Can we do that as a test? Like, next time we do a podcast together, maybe we could just on the Kirby Enthusiasm podcast. I will send you a screenshot of a tweet.
Yes.
And then you
four
tell me
like this style. And right away, I could look at them for like 5 seconds and have to see which one is over 140. But it might be like one. I don't think 141 I could tell. But once we get to like 145, I could definitely tell.
OK. All right. So we will see. All right. Keeve, what's the fake Rupert tweet?
I think the third one is so dumb because it's I can't keep track of these people because there's only 17 people. It's not a really complicated season. There aren't like two people that look the same. I have a tough time with like, facial recognition. So for me, if there are people that like kind of look similar, I'm like, oh, I give up to and I just root for one of them to get voted out. There's nobody this season that's like that. It's so dumb. I'm going to say C is the fake one, even though maybe C is the real one, because like. That's the dumbest one. But yeah, I'm going with C.
No pumpkin. That's
real. By the way,
that was a little bit of a tip off. The second week in a row, Rupert has tweeted about how he can't keep track of these people.
That's funny. Well, how can you not, if you can't keep track of these people, like, yes, there are a couple people like Rourke who haven't gotten a ton of airtime yet, especially, from that tribe because it hasn't gone to tribal council.
Yeah.
No Pumpkin No is from the first time I did the voicemails, the Cambodia episode where Monica Badia famously gets voted out and they have an argument with Kimmy over the clans.
Yeah, look at you.
Probably the worst. This was the worst episode since that one.
Yeah. Rupert also tweeted out a poll to his followers. It said, is that who you thought would get voted out? 64% of Rupert followers said yes. So they were right.
I like how he doesn't spoil the name. He wants to keep his followers unspoiled. So what was the fake one?
The fake one, the Alexis Maxwell tweet was... I'm feeling like this season will be one of those that is stronger post-merge. That was Alexis Maxwell. She also
like
tweeted
a little
out,
bit
yeah.
elevated like strategy for Rupert. So I get it. It's from Alexis.
She also tweeted out, yeah, blindsides are painful.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. All right. She also tweeted, what a comeback. Man, I hated water challenges. And how is that little turtleneck hustler still so pale?
Most of these survivors should just tweet like five times an episode. Remember, I was on the show too, and it's basically the same thing.
Yes. All right. All right. Well, Akiva, you and I will not go long without speaking again. We will be talking on the Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast coming up this Monday. Very excited about that. Will Curb be preempted because of Larry David's engagement?
He's engaged?
Yeah.
Oh, see, you just remembered. This guy remembered that he forgot to put in the lie earlier in the episode where it wouldn't have been noticeable. And now he's trying to trick me, 99% of the way through the podcast. It's not going to work, Mr. Sesternino.
All right. Can't get one over on you. I'll wait till the next Jewish holiday, though. I'll be back.
That is a fun game. Next time there's like Rosh Hashanah, which a couple days off.
I'll have Rupert make up
three of them happened and one of them didn't happen. Okay. I have to pick.
So after the Jewish holiday ends, we will get on the phone and I will tell you three real
things. We're not getting on the phone.
Things.
I'm not a phone guy.
Whatever this is.
Okay. This.
We'll get on Skype.
Yeah.
Get on Zencaster.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then I'll tell you three real things that happen.
You
want to
do it next week? There's one more holiday.
Sure.
After Simchat Torah. It's only 24 hours, so you have to like temper it.
But that can be part of the Kirby Enthusiasm podcast. We don't need to torture the Survivor podcast.
No, nobody. Everyone's done here. Yeah. No, I think it's not a bad idea.
Okay, that'll be fun. I'm excited. Maybe people could say, like, send them in also.
Yeah, people send them in to Curb. What's the Curb email?
Curb@postshowrecaps.com, and the podcast feed is postshowrecaps.com/curb. So much stuff that we just dropped on you guys in the podcast feed, in addition to the Survivor podcast. The Match Game went up on Friday night. The Archetype cast with Angie Kontz also went into the podcast feed. So really, an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, nobody will criticize you for doing too few podcasts. I feel like we're really, you know, a peak podcast right now. Middle of Survivor season, you're really cranking.
And of course, The Wiggle Room with our special guest, Aubrey Bracco, will be there. And not to mention two other Survivor podcasts in the Rehap Ups feed, the RHAP B&B with our aforementioned Liana Boris, and then David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis, who did a fantastic job in week one. They will talk about why Simone lost. So if your strategy itch has not been scratched, David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis will get that for you on why blank lost. Keeve, what's the hashtag today?
It's not Aquaplop. You give me anything but Aquaplop.
Okay. What about hashtag self-stan?
Okay, self-stan. I like that.
Hashtag takearella.
I don't even remember saying that, so no.
Yeah, no. Well, that was the person that only gave us their first name on the hot takeoff, and then we had to get them to give an equally hot take to prove their identity.
Yeah, let's say since we're ending the podcast, Caitlin Ash, you're the winner, because Allison, I'm sorry.
Would she know to message you? I thought that you misspoke before you said by the end of when we're recording. Oh, okay.
I emailed her and said, can you respond? You listen, I'm of the opinion that if you don't respond to someone within like an hour, you're either ghosting them or you're dead. So if
ghosting us.
Like, there's no such thing, you know, even though I said I was out of pocket for 7 to 2 hours, like most people aren't me. You're online constantly. Allison, you should have won. I do feel bad. Maybe she'll move back and, you know, we'll find something for you. But the winner, Caitlin Ash. Do you know who Caitlin Ash is?
Of course I do, Keeve.
Well, I don't.
Yes. Okay. All right. What do you like? Which one of these hashtags?
Self-stand. I like hashtag self-stand.
Hashtag self-stand. That's what us survivors have to do. All right. Great stuff, Akiva. You can follow Akiva on Twitter at Keeve26. Akiva,
yeah, I've got an idea, Rob.
What's that?
Wouldn't this, you know, I have, let me check how many followers I have. I have 1,368 followers. Wouldn't this be a great week in Survivor history if after this podcast I had more than Jordan Kalish, who has like 1,500?
Wow. So could you just look at a Twitter account and know how many followers they have in addition to knowing how many characters are in a tweet?
No, but I will say, you know how like they do this annoying thing on Twitter where they show you like somebody liked something now?
Yes.
Where it shows up a lot. I'd say with that and the retweets, like I know, because I only follow like 190 something people. I know like who, like I could just see the tweet and be like 98% sure who retweeted it without seeing the name. Mm-hmm. That would be a game that literally no one would be interested in, but
right.
I feel like I'd be good.
You could say that for the 32 Fans podcast, of course, with Akiva Kurhos.
Oh, good plug. 32
with
Fans
Alex
podcast.
Chester. Search for 32 Fans on iTunes, talking about football and having a ridiculous fantasy draft every week.
Yeah, we do draft, by the way. What's ridiculous? We were the only podcast that had a earnest WNBA Finals draft. We drafted players for WNBA Finals.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Chester's Minnesota Lynx won the championship. I have a good podcast for this week. I haven't run it by Chester. Our families just met for the first time today. Like my wife met his wife and our kids played and stuff. What if we like redrafted our families?
Yeah. Redraft.
Like we could end up swapping wives. I could like, I definitely have one of my kids. I'm happy if he like steals in the third round. I'm not going to tell him which one. So I think it's a good idea. I'm not sure if he's going to go for it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, can't wait to hear how that plays out. And then, you know, some talk about the NFL picks and then 10 seconds of a song.
Rob is very mad because the one compliment we get on the 32 Fans podcast is we play like a full song. I take a lot of time and I pick like a perfect song for that episode. And then Rob writes in and complains, like, I thought there was 4 more minutes left of the podcast. And it was just a song that I don't like because I hate music. And that's the Rob voice every week. So it's a big complaint. By the way, the Jordan Kalish thing, if I can't get to 1,500 like he is, you can just unfollow him and then I'll have more than
that's right.
Him.
So I'm listening to your podcast at 1.5 music. So I don't it doesn't matter what song
right, the
you
music
put in
isn't
there.
Good. But I will say the only like the number one compliment we get is like, wow, Keeve picked out a good song. It's never like Keeve had a great point and his picks went, 12-2. It's like Akiva doesn't know what he's talking about with the NFL, but he picked out a good song for, the end of the show. And and it's like edited in seamlessly. People do say that.
Okay. All right. Well, great stuff there. Of course, lots of stuff going on here. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. We will have the same songs unless Josh Wigler makes the music at the end of the podcast for the most part on this show. And then anything else, Keeve?
No, I feel like, we basically got podcast divorced 2 weeks ago when our Seinfeld podcast ended.
What divorce? And we started a new podcast the same day. It was like we moved.
I thought we were done with each other. No. And we're like a couple that split up and then is sleeping together four times.
Everybody knows the first breakup doesn't take.
Doesn't take. It definitely didn't take. I speak to you every day now.
All of our friends that said to you, Akiva, that was a good thing. I don't really think that Rob was good for you. Now we can't talk to them anymore.
No. Listen, trust me. I've done that with my friends. Have broken up with people, and then they've been married to them for 12 years. And it's awkward.
Not good. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.